You're listening to Robert Kelly's
You Know What, Dude?
On the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
What's up, YKWD fans? I'm going to give you my dates for the month of January so you can come see me live do my stand-up comedy. I'm going to be in Albany, New York at Comedy Works the 18th and 19th, so get your tickets now. I'm going to be at Side Splitters in Tampa, Florida the 24th, the 25th, and the 26th. And Gotham Comedy Club at the end of the month in New York City, the 31st, the 1st, and the 2nd. So get your tickets now. Go to my website, robertkellylive.com, and just hit buy tickets. Or get my award-winning iPhone app, Robert Kelly Live, and go to the dates, and again, hit buy tickets. It's as easy as that. If you have an Android phone, go fuck yourself. No, I'm kidding. Just go to my website and buy the tickets. So share this, like this, tweet this, bring your friends, get the fuck out to one of my shows. Later. This is a perfect example of why I do these intros. This podcast was a little crazy, a little different from the norm. And sometimes you do these podcasts and they go on for a couple hours and after you're done, it's like a fight. You don't know what the fuck was said or what happened or... And sometimes you reflect on it a couple days later, and that's why I started doing these intros. This one is actually real interesting. I had Dustin Chaffin from the Greenwich Village Comedy Club, the manager of that, which is a few doors down from the Comedy Cellar Comedy Club. I also had Noam Dorman on, and I had Dave Kimowitz from The Stand, one of the owners and managers up there. Louis J. Gomez, Joe, The Truth List, and myself. Apparently, there was a big New York Times article on the five families of comedy clubs owner. And then Noam did a podcast, which you might want to reference or listen to before this. He listened to this one, where he invited all the club owners on his show to discuss the New York Times article because the guy kind of took liberties. And the only ones that showed up were the guys from The Stand. And he wound up saying some shit about the other owners and then of Dustin. And Dustin asked me, you know, if he could get on and kind of on my show and defend himself and, you know, kind of confront Noam on some shit that he said that he didn't agree with. And here we are. Here's this podcast. It's around 2 hours and 14 minutes. It's a long one. It's a heated one. A lot of crazy shit was said. You know, it was very interesting. A very interesting show. I don't know if anything was solved or we came to any conclusions on it, but I don't know. You be the judge. Email me your thoughts or whatever at ykwd@riotcast.com. So enjoy. This is the Five Families Part 2. Again, if you want to listen to the other one, it's at riotcast.com, Comedy Cellar Live from the Table. The Five Families. Listen to that one, and then you can listen to this one. Pause that right now and come back to it or just listen to it. I hope you enjoy it. It's fucking crazy. The Five Families, Part 2.
Hey, gang. This is Colin Quinn.
This is Jim Norton.
This is Dennis Leary.
This is Opie from A Lot of Things.
This is Bert Kreischer.
Stan Cook, and you are listening to Robert Kelly's You Know What, Dude?
You Know What, Dude?
You Know What, Dude?
Ippy bippy baya, ippy bippy boo, dippy dippy daya, yabba dabba doo.
Dude!
This is Robert Kelly's You Know What, Dude?
You Know What,
Noam, sit down. Put your headphones on.
Oh, boy.
What, are you putting a jacket on? Are you cold? Ugh. What, are you a fucking broad? Nobody take... No.
I don't remember what it was like.
But being thin? he's great at fat jokes. I do. I got to give it to Noam. He's got fucking... what is this? Shaking hands horse shit.
That's what men do. Robert.
Lewis and I touched dicks a second ago.
Touch gloves.
Before we were on.
That's, right. That's what men do?
Yeah. Shake
right.
Hands.
Okay. Right.
Eye contact.
Okay, well, we're here, and feel free to fix your headphones to be louder or softer as you need.
Talk to the audience.
Than me.
Let's go around the room like an AA meeting to introduce everybody to this special YKWD podcast. What are you laughing at? They're all special. Go ahead. We'll go clockwise.
I'm introducing myself.
You're supposed to introduce us, you asshole.
Yeah, Bob,
introduce
what the fuck
are
you?
Like,
who does that?
You guys,
he doesn't
really
remember somebody in the room's name. That's why he's doing that.
I do.
That,
I know
way
everybody's name. I got that's David Kowitz.
Ah, exactly. Fucked up the first one.
There's a few letters. I'm 100% sure.
Kimowitz. I got Kimowitz. I just said it 10 seconds ago. I got David Kimowitz. I got Dustin Chafin. I got Joe, the Truth List. I got Louis J. Gomez, the fucking twat.
Really?
I got, well, yeah, because you fucking called me out. I just wanted to try something new, and then you bullied me into doing what you wanted me to fucking do.
I have a whole new respect for him. That was very insightful. I didn't see that.
Really?
Thank you,
see
that.
You have a new respect. That means he didn't respect you 8 minutes
respect
ago.
well, last week he was the anti-Semite, right? Yeah.
Jew Slayer, relax.
Jew Slayer. That's what they
Jew
call
Slayer.
Him.
Okay, yeah.
That's what they call him in the East Village, the Jew Slayer. Okay. And Gnome, you have a middle name?
No.
Thank God. Because your name is on the verge of fucking... Noam Dorman, the owner of the Comedy Cellar, the manager, Dustin Chafin of the... What's it called?
Greenwich Village Comedy Club.
Could you have say
is
it a little
Chafin
more...
Chafin or Chafin?
Say it with pride.
Say, could you say,
I have pride, trust me. And I'm here, you can't do pot shots.
and we have Dave Kibowitz from The Stand, the brand new... Comedy Club, The Stand.
One of the 19 owners.
Income.
Yeah, there's a lot of club owners in this room. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And there's two comics.
Really?
I don't know who that was a knock on.
I'm not saying who's not. You might be one of them, Dustin.
One podcast host.
I'm a podcast host too, and so's Gnome.
So am I.
Damn it.
Anyway, yeah, you know what? So's Dustin.
Hiccup Radio, baby.
I have a podcast too.
Everybody does.
No, you don't. I'm
a busboy here.
This is your podcast. So we're here today. You guys, number one, I don't know if people know this. There was a big article in the New York Times about the comedy clubs in New York City. And they had come to Gnome. To what's the guy's name, first of all? What's the guy's name who wrote the article?
Jason Zinnerman.
Yeah.
I was talking to Gnome. Yeah. Gnome, what's the guy? No.
Jason Zinnerman, yeah. Jason. I can't remember his last name for a second. Jason Zinnerman.
Did he come to all of you guys?
Yeah, he called me.
Yeah, we sat down with him for about an hour or so.
Of course you did. The fucking Stan will fucking jerk off everybody
us,
for publicity.
You
know. He didn't call me.
He didn't call
he
you.
He only called Esty.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, so what's wrong with that?
No, you asked me. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. So he didn't call you, but Esty turned it over to you, or did she talk to him too?
I heard that he was interviewing Esty, and I came to the Olive Tree.
Okay, so what was the article about?
I asked Esty. I told her I wanted.
What
to
was
do
the initial article supposed to be about?
I wasn't told. I didn't know what.
Did he tell?
They didn't really tell us what it was. It was just I knew that it was on.
So a guy from the Times called you and said, "I want to do an article on something."
Well, he's not just somebody. He's the guy who writes about comedy.
Okay.
For the New York Times.
Right. Okay. He's the guy who wrote the article on Eddie Brill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the idea was to stir the pot with Gnome and Greenwich Village. That was the whole.
Just
angle.
You two.
I think so because we're on the same street. I think that was the angle, and then you guys are new and use some of the same comics, so they were trying to bring you into it as well. But I think that was the idea.
Well,
of
I think
it.
That was certainly one of the premises. It was about the new face of comedy and the comedy clubs in
as
New York City.
As opposed to the old face.
Right.
Yeah. That's you.
or just the state of comedy clubs. And
state of comedy clubs.
Over the summer, a few clubs opened up and another one is opening up.
So here's the deal. The article, Dave, can you hit number four for me, sweetie?
I'll get it.
All right, Gnome, yeah. It's your place.
Gnome's over the podcast already.
He's like, I'm done. I'm out of here.
So you guys, this article came out, and everybody kind of took offense to other things that were said. Am I correct?
I didn't personally get offended by anything in it, other than I know when we talked about it on Gnome's podcast.
Yeah,
I think that we both agreed that it seemed like a sensationalizing, more of a tabloid type piece than that was worthy of New York Times. But other than that, I thought I felt good how we were portrayed. And
I didn't feel
anything towards Dustin or to Gnome negatively.
Right.
Well Gnome had mentioned that I started the whole thing, and I was like, are you kidding me? I had nothing to do with this, like this article in general. Like on the podcast, you said that. And I was like, I didn't start this
thing.
So,
yeah, I'm going to get to that. This is what I'm trying to lead up to that. Just bear with me. I understand this is going a little slow.
Well, this is why I showed up.
I'm waiting.
I'm excited for this.
I'm waiting. I'm waiting for Linda too. Linda's going to take some photos and videos, hopefully, of Lewis and Dave fighting.
I'm down. I challenged Dante Nero to a fist fight. If you want to show up for that.
You challenged him to a fist fight?
I figured I'd take a shot. You know, if I'm going to... I've never been in a fist fight. He's the guy to, you know, to take it up to. Because it's clearly a challenge.
Don't ever fight a black guy... with a bone in his ear.
Who wants spots at your club?
No contest. Because if you lose, you're gonna have to use Dante more.
Dante walks like...
I'm clearly not winning that fight.
He walks like he's a giant midget. You see the way that he walks? It's hilarious.
I've actually said that to you.
No, you haven't.
Hey, you stole. That's
fucking,
my line.
Are you fucking kidding
Joe
me?
Joe Liz, tell him.
I'm going to sit this whole podcast down. I'm just here to enjoy.
Probably smart.
You're here for levity.
Levity. I don't even know what that means. I know there's a comedy club called Levity.
Exactly what you just did. That's exactly why you're here.
Oh, I'm glad I'm here.
Linda's here, too. So anyways, cut to... Gnome has a podcast, invites all the four families. Is that
five,
what
they, five families?
Five. Invited the five families on, and nobody showed. Except for... of course, the Stand.
The biggest nobody of all, Dave Kimowitz.
You say it like it was a desperate move. It was a, this sounds like a fun thing. Why wouldn't I?
Because you guys don't give a shit. You'll hang out.
Absolutely.
The real ass dudes.
They're real ass dudes.
Yeah, he was great.
No, it's because
he
we do give a shit.
Yeah, it was it was a great podcast.
I listened to it. It sounded good. I was there, but I also listened to it.
It was very funny, and you guys showed up. You're the only ones.
Yeah, that was disappointing.
Why didn't you show up, Dustin?
Well, first of all...
Hang on one second. Photos are being taken.
Yeah. First of all, Gnome had banned me from the building. I wasn't even allowed to eat there.
Wait a minute. I couldn't.
You said that. Don't make that face.
Now I'm the judge.
First of all, from the building.
I'm still representing Lewis.
Security won't let me in to have hummus and have an awkward conversation with Ryan Hamilton. Like I can't go. I can't be in.
Who can't do that? I couldn't. Live
I can't
if
even
I
be in
that.
The building. You know. And for second of all,
there's nothing better than talking to Ryan Hamilton about fucking anal sex. Yeah. Just seeing sweat form on his fucking Mormon brow.
You know what's great about Ryan Hamilton? He doesn't shit on comics.
No.
But when you shit on him, he loses his mind. That's his way of shitting on comics. It's fun. He's like, doesn't that guy suck? And he's like,
he does suck. Yeah, praise God.
So I thought it was a little messed up that I wasn't even allowed in the building, but he wanted me on the podcast.
Wait, is that true? Is he not allowed
in
the building?
It's true.
I'm going to let him finish. Go ahead.
All right, first of all, I don't like your tactic of you're exhausted already. Yeah, exactly. You're fucking bullshit. Yeah. I don't like it. You just don't set Dustin up, you cocksucker.
Two things.
Go ahead.
First of all, I sent you a letter, a really nice letter. Did you get it? Yes, an email?
It was a gentlemanly.
I really wish it was a
gentlemanly declination of.
Yeah. No, no big words on this podcast.
It was a solid letter. It wasn't.
Levity is the
word
biggest,
up anyway.
Levity is the biggest word you can use on this podcast.
Declination. And then you act like I was too busy. I mean, you didn't even mention the fact that I said, you know, I declined in a letter. And, you know, I came at you like a gentleman. And second of all, when you're not wanted in a building, it was kind of weird. I can't even freaking. These are my friends before they were your friends. I've been in this business a long time. Like, I just
they're
want
to. They're
not
my friends.
It's true. It's true.
What are you talking about?
You called him your friend yesterday.
Yeah, he's not doing
that. Robert's my friend.
He used the word loosely.
Hang on, let's not get carried away. I need the space.
All right. It just felt like nothing good could come from it if we were there.
Listen,
Hang on one second. I don't want this to go. I don't want this to boil and ruin the roux, as they say in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Nothing on that?
I was like, dying. What are you talking
the
about?
Rule?
Yeah. It's a... forget it. Anyways, read a cookbook, goddammit.
Yeah. The base of something.
Yeah, you can't make fat jokes like that and not know what a roux is. The base. Thank you. You're in a restaurant.
Absolutely.
Apparently you don't. Just cook rice and hummus. So I want to know, did you really ban somebody from eating at your place?
I don't remember that, but I'll tell you what I did do.
All right, look at me, though. Stop looking at the ceiling because you're freaking me out.
Okay.
I know the coat thing was a tactic just to make Dustin hot, by the way.
He started working at the Village Comedy Club, Greenwich Village Comedy Club?
Yes.
And they have surrounded all our customers with flyer people, try to induce...
Okay, before we get to that. Are you going ahead?
Yeah.
Okay.
Answer the question.
No, I'm going behind.
I just want to answer a question.
Well,
I know you're behind, but I just answer the question
first. I'm going to answer it in my way. What I told...
Wait a minute.
What
this
I,
is now, my...
What I told...
I am the judge.
Yes or no?
It's not a yes or no question. What I told him was
yes.
that if he's going to be aggressive like that towards us, he should not come hang out there
right.
as a way to network with comedians.
I already know these people.
Just because you know these people doesn't mean you can get them all in a room together and hang out with them and approach them. It's a lot easier when you can piggyback on the resources.
Not piggybacking.
Of the, well,
half of your roster came through me before they came through the cellar.
What is that?
I ran Boston Comedy Club.
I appreciate you being the key ingredient to the success of the Comedy Cellar.
Not
I wasn't
a key
aware
ingredient,
of it until now.
But
wait, let's stop. I want to judge that sarcastic tone. I give it a 9. Yeah. Joe List, what do you give it?
I just represent Luis Gomez.
Luis J. Gomez.
There's a simple.
That's the most sarcastic
Robert, let's just,
thing.
Let's just cut to the quick here.
What the fuck was that?
Listen, right next door to us, we have Mamoun's Falafel.
Yes.
It's like the Comedy Cellar of falafel.
Yeah, way better falafels than the Comedy Cellar.
It is the best falafel.
Which, by the way, I'm specifically responsible for how good their falafel is at Mamoun's.
Yeah, Louis. He barks for them, actually.
And we have a tremendously good relationship.
Right. You have a good relationship with Mamoun's.
With Mamoun's Falafel, always
right.
have.
Okay. Right.
The day that we take 3 flyer people
right.
and surround Mamoun's,
right.
and everybody does say, hey, you going to get a falafel? We have better falafel right next door, and it's cheaper.
Right.
That is the end of a good relationship with Mamoun's. We have other comedy clubs in the neighborhood.
Okay.
The
okay.
only comedy
let's,
club
let,
that
we
geometrically
gotta,
surrounds
okay,
us.
Okay, this is what we're
is
doing.
Them.
Okay. All right, shut up. Shut the fuck
and
up.
And we actually
no,
get
shut
emails.
Up. No, shut up. You got to understand that the listeners need to understand. You can't just say shit. We got to set up so they understand what you're saying.
I think they understood that.
You're going right to the end of the fucking argument. The fact is that he... You, let's go to the beginning.
The beginning is half of my roster went through Dustin. That's how it started.
We know that he is part of
this. I'm the godfather.
Losing a layer.
Right. Did you go through Dustin?
I did.
You did?
No.
Well, that's more than half our roster. How are you counting?
This does need a little background.
Well, no, that's half the weight of your roster.
That's
body.
What I meant. You counting numerically?
Okay. Well, you took credit for Soder.
Right. That was a good fact
you
fact
took
check.
Credit for Soder, and I put him up long before you
ever. Who took credit for Soder?
You did on the podcast.
I took credit for Soder.
First of all,
Bucks and Soder.
Shut the fuck up. Fuck both of you for taking right. credit for any of us.
I'm not taking
because
credit
because we're funny whether you're a fucking trash can with 5 people.
Exactly.
Hold up.
So
never take,
no, stop
I've
taking
taken,
credit for funny.
I've never just, taken credit for anybody.
That's a good
ever.
Point.
All right, yeah, it's
right.
a good
you know
point. Stop taking credit for our fucking abilities given to me from God.
And I have the
okay?
same abilities. Nobody's
yes,
taking that.
Nobody yeah, exactly. What I'm saying is this. He opens up a club down the street. He's not the owner of the club. He's the manager of the club. He's the manager. He's the manager of the club. Okay. Now,
yeah.
is it your responsibility? Is it your idea to put the guys out on the streets?
No, that's an independent like street team
that hired by
the owner.
And that's not your
no.
You have no
responsibility. What is your day to day responsibility at your club?
Booking it, producing the shows.
You have
taking
no interaction
and taking
with
names.
The street team.
Can I ask you a question? And just so everybody knows the context, you want to say what the owner of your club did at the community board meeting vis-a-vis the Comedy Cellar before you even opened?
You can go ahead. I know you want
like
to say
know.
It. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know what this... What is this? Community what?
There was a community board meeting where
okay.
they were going to get their license.
Was it in the community?
Yes. It was
okay.
It was and I was
I love
there.
The stupid sarcasm. He literally stops his brain.
Thank you for inviting
I
me.
I was
to
there
this
just
body.
By coinciting.
Who said that?
Me.
Okay.
So, thank you
I
for
was there by
me.
Coincidence.
Yes.
And I wasn't really paying attention. I hadn't been there in a long time. And this guy who I'd never seen before, turns out it's Al Martin,
mm-hmm.
gets up there and he's talking about opening a new comedy club.
Uh-huh.
And the community starts questioning about where he's going to put his line. And then he pulls out of his briefcase or whatever, you know, printed copies of Comedy Cellar website and starts handing it out to everybody. And he says, look, the Comedy Cellar claims to be able to have 4 shows in one night with 15 minutes in between. But let me tell you, I've been in this business for 20 years, and they're not being honest. And then he proceeds to start giving a presentation of why the Comedy Cellar is a bad club for the neighborhood.
Wow.
I don't know if it went quite like that.
It was quite like that.
Who? Yeah, were you there, Dustin?
I wasn't there.
Well, were you there, Noam?
Wait. How do you think it was? Tell me.
Well, I know he's a cutthroat businessman, much like
just
yourself.
Just tell me where you think it was.
Can I ask you a question?
No. You say you don't think it was quite like that. What do you think it was like?
He was trying to get open on Madugal, and so he was doing what it took
to
get
he,
open.
Did he print out copies of my website?
I guess he did if you're saying he did. Sure.
Okay. Now,
all right,
now,
that's business,
now,
though.
Now best,
you present yourself in a way where you
well,
show
you guys
documents.
Think, you guys think that's business. It's I've never conducted business that way. I wouldn't go
okay.
before
I have a question.
I wouldn't go before a neighborhood board and then try to take down a business down the block.
Did that affect you?
Wasn't trying to take it down.
It did. It did affect us.
Why?
Because just not long ago, I had another problem at the Fat Black Pussycat.
Right.
And the woman, Shannon from the Bamra, starts screaming at me about the Comedy Cellar line, and she started parroting Al Martin's presentation. You guys know you don't get your shows in. She doesn't know what she's talking about, except that she heard it at the Bamra meeting. So right. This is the context of the kind of business that's being done.
Well, I think the idea of it was to prove that, you know, there's other clubs having shows back to back with lines. And so why can't we have a show with shows back to back with lines?
But that's the idea of it. He said we were. That would have been fine. He said, but they're not being honest.
Okay.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Because you can't defend that because you weren't there.
Yeah, I can't.
All right, you gotta,
and I don't want to speak for Al.
Right, but you can't really. You can't say it's the most outrageous thing that I've ever come in
contact with in the 25 years I've been doing this.
And have you ever seen the video?
I've never seen a business do that to another business.
I was on the community board.
I've never seen it happen.
I had such a funnier one than that shit dick, and he stepped right over me.
Sorry.
Hey, settle down now. Joe, levity. Say something.
I don't know. Well, there's a lot of pressure.
Bitch.
I'm just waiting for my lines, and
so
I don't want to step over the argument.
That's how the story
You don't work
starts.
At either one of these clubs.
Okay, so you came in angry from the get-go. I get it. And you took it out on me.
I didn't take it out on you.
All right, we're getting to that. We're getting to what
I was nice to you when you came in. I didn't take it out on
here's
you.
Here's the deal,
You're pretty
though.
Shitty on the podcast about me, but that's
you,
all right.
Because you wouldn't come and talk about
this
it.
This is what happened. This is what we're getting to, is that on the podcast,
I wasn't that shitty.
All this shit was said and done, okay? All this shit was said and done. Whatever Al did, Al's the owner, you're the manager, okay? But what happened was is that on the podcast, you invited everybody, nobody showed up, and then you kind
of...
Like I said, nobody showed up. Nobody of relevance in this bit. No, I'm kidding.
Myself and my boisterous partner, Chris, came, and we discussed the article.
He's very low-key, Chris. He's not
very
boisterous.
He's very low-key, Chris. But he's intelligent, and he's a journalist. He's,
I learned a lot about Chris in that podcast. I didn't know he was a journalist.
Yeah.
He sounds like an ex-shitty boxing promoter. You know what I mean? But he's a really intelligent guy.
I'm going to do my Chris impression for the camera.
That's pretty good.
That's good on a podcast.
No, it's for the camera, dude.
I know, but do that after. Anyways, you were there. Yeah. Now, when they started to talk, that's what bothered you. And that's when Dustin contacted me. Is there any way I can get on your show with Noam to defend myself just because you didn't want to go on his show because you thought it wouldn't be...
I felt this would be less biased.
Yeah, this is Noam's apartment and his building, but whatever.
But it's still you. I know you longer than I've known him, so I felt more comfortable.
What did Noam say... Forget about the board and what Al did in the comedy club. And there are 3 points of, you know, people. And look, they try to get me tickets.
I know.
You know, and that bothers me because they should know my fucking face. I'm famous.
Yeah,
at least down here.
Yeah,
tell you fucking.
Oh, shut up.
Listen, we've had that. I mean, I've had a comic come in, and we have people in the neighborhood that are, you know, hey, you're looking to come to a comedy show. It sucks when somebody performing there.
I told them the first time I did the first and only time I did a show at the Stand. I said, if I show up at the door and the lady goes, may I help you? I'm walking out. So they made sure when I walked up, the lady went, hello, Mr. Kelly. How are you?
Oh, yeah.
Right this way. Can I get you anything?
Absolutely.
But I also want
to
say...
That's the way they treat me at every restaurant we go to.
I'm glad you own a comedy club.
Yeah.
I think you're safe, Dustin.
I do. I think I'm all right. Great set last night, by the way, at the Greenwich. You killed it, Robert.
What's the Greenwich? Oh, your club. I'm sorry, I forgot. I didn't know that was the name of your club. I thought it was the other one.
It was funny if you would have rolled with it.
Sorry, I thought I did it. Forget it.
Keith goes there all the time. All right.
Does he really? Oh, shit.
I'm kidding.
Did somebody hit that?
Don't try to blame me.
How much did we miss? Somebody hit that.
I might have hit some of those weight. Hit that with some of those weight. Anyway,
hang on.
If we have Dan Natchez,
are we not doing the bandana?
No, we're not doing the bandana.
We had something else.
Listen, we had some technical. I don't know what the fuck we missed. Again, we're gonna start at this point wherever the fuck it is. Whatever we missed, that was God. Saying, I don't want this to be out there.
I don't want Noam to go to jail.
I want to explain myself to the comics.
It was the part where Lewis was promoting his headlining show.
If we have Dan Natterman performing at the Cellar, and the same night you have him performing down there at a lower price, and my customers are walking by, and then your flyer guys in 3 different points say to every one of my customers, they have Dan Natterman, but we have the same comics down the block for less money. That is an intolerable situation for me. Number two, I tell you no. I'm not going to have that kind of policy. But of course, I have a different relationship with every comic. And if a comic comes up to me and says, listen, no, I'm doing a special. Do you mind if I go down? Very, very likely I'm going to say, yes, I don't mind. Very, very. But it's never even happened.
Okay, but that's what I asked you when we were talking. Because that was more important to me, listen, about the craft and letting comics grow as opposed to this
bullshit.
But listen,
you still haven't answered my basic thing.
I'll
like I
any
said,
question you want.
Mamoon is right next door. Okay. If I surround Mamoons with flyer guys trying to induce people to buy the Olive Tree falafel, then there is a war between me and Mamoons. And then what happens comes from me taking that shot across the bow. You cannot take a shot across the bow. And you took two shots across the bow. One at the community board meeting and second with these flyer guys. And then say, oh, no, it's really unfair what you're doing to comics. You're doing it to comics. The same way terrorists who hide in schoolyards are responsible.
You are the Al-Qaeda of comedy.
You are bringing it about. You're taking actions which you know are going to have a totally predictable reaction.
What the fuck is terrorists in schoolyards?
Because what terrorists do
I know
is
what
they hide
do.
In schoolyards, and then when you defend yourself against them, oh, you're killing civilians. The comics. Oh, that's not fair to the comics.
That's
you know what?
Outrageous.
Don't
what
do what you're
this?
Doing.
Hey, calm down. What about this? What about...
Get to the waitresses. I'm really curious. I really want to know.
No, I don't want your wife to get involved. I don't want to hear this stuff.
Now you better
be careful. No, no, no. Be careful. Shut up.
He said he didn't want you...
I didn't want her to hear. I didn't want to hear these things.
If you're going to accuse me of cheating on my wife, you better just come out and say it. Don't imply it.
All right, shut
That's
up.
That's not clever.
All right. We get it. You don't think anybody's
you cheated?
Clever.
No, I'm kidding.
Can you name the podcast? Noam cheats on his wife.
Point of order. I think that's a sleazy thing to do.
It is sleazy. I apologize. I shouldn't say that. Yeah, I'm wrong. Yeah. I'm bad for saying that.
Yeah, that is terrible.
It's just, but for
I
you
cheat
to,
on.
You know,
no, I'm kidding.
I guess I got mad about what you said on the podcast, you know, about the my comedy and stuff, and it hurt my feelings.
Yeah,
so
that's
I'm
real.
At it,
I believe
I'm
that.
Coming at it like aggressively. So even doing this, I'm like, I can't believe he did that. That's the only thing that I care about. I care about two shits about anything else. Whether you ban me, whether you think I'm a piece of shit, whether you think Al's the barking thing. It's just coming at my comedy. I've worked so hard to be a good comic.
You're coming at my business every day.
Yeah, well, you stop for a second, though. Listen to what he just said.
I started by saying I felt bad about saying it.
Yeah, but listen, here's the thing, too. Can I say something to you, though?
Yeah.
Is that like, okay, when I came here, the only club that worked me was the Boston.
Yes.
Okay, because it was owned by my management and the Comedy Cellar. Every other club told me to go fuck myself. I mean, I can't tell you how many times Lucian and Starla told me I wasn't funny enough to work their club. I was like, you know what? I don't give a fuck. Because I know how club owners are. And you find the club owner that gets your shit, and that's the club you work.
Still
Everybody looking. Wants to be... And here's the thing, too, is that as soon as I got on HBO and stuff happened with me, I was in at every fucking club. Everybody wants... So all of a sudden, I became funny overnight to everybody. And then every festival booked me. All the festivals that said, fuck you, all of a sudden, I did all of them in 1 year. All of them. So I understood that. So him saying that you're not funny, his father, like I said, didn't think I was funny when I got here.
He got it.
All right. I did it on
but
a podcast.
But I don't, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, who gives a fuck?
And I'll be very.
But he did it on the podcast.
I'll be very respectful with this. And I'm just asking a question. What is the true story about the banning of Patrice O'Neill? I heard he was banned because he made fun of your father and like as a joke. And then you guys banned him for years, up until Patrice died. He wasn't allowed to play the Comedy Cellar.
That's not true.
Because
not
of
true.
Some, because he sold
Patrice didn't want to
behold Manny
Patrice didn't
some
work
about
there.
His teeth, and they were doing back.
I'll
and
tell
forth.
You, I've
that's
talked,
what I heard.
I've talked to Patrice about working the cellar.
Yeah.
Okay, he was one of my best friends.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the facts. Is he did not want to come down and do comedy here. Just didn't. And it's not just here. He felt comfortable at certain places. And Noam, I've been at the table with Noam. You want to go up? You want to go? Nope.
Yeah.
No. No, I'm good. I don't not like disrespect him. Nah.
Yeah, he and I were fine.
Yeah, I mean.
No, I just heard it. That's why I said
well,
it like
I was
I
at
said
the table
it.
When
yeah.
it happened.
Okay.
I was there.
So something did happen.
I was there. Well, yeah, Patrice, that jackass, was uncomfortable because me and Ava was talking. Esty and Greg Giraldo and Norton were talking to Manny, and Patrice Stupid was just sitting there and being ignored by everybody, and he got uncomfortable, and his uncomfortableness, he decided to ask a question like he always does, and he went, yeah, yo man, are those teeth, are those real? Are those your real teeth? Not trying to be, he was really wondering, because Manny had great teeth, okay, and he was just, and he didn't understand what he was about to do, and Manny is a fucking prideful guy, and didn't take shit from anybody, and flipped out. You cocksucker. You motherfucker. You did that out of district. You're trying to embarrass me. Snapped on Patrice.
Yeah.
And we were all like, what the fuck? Okay. And we were like, stupid. What the we were yelling at Patrice. Like, what are you doing, dummy? Yeah. And Patrice immediately kind of backpedaled like, oh, shit. No, I was just. It's like, you're a fucking idiot. He fucked up.
Well,
and that's the night Norton
actually
left. You want to hear the truth.
Sure.
Norton got into a fight with Manny because he was like, he was an idiot, but he's just an idiot. He wasn't trying to embarrass. And then they got into a fight and Norton said, fuck you. And he left and canceled all his spots for the weekend. Of course, he wormed his way back on Monday because he had nowhere else to go. But that was a thing that happened. But the one thing that I will say about Manny and Noam is that these fights, these arguments, and I've had them with Noam, I've had them with Manny. I mean, Manny walked up to me and said, he took me aside. I don't want you working Boston anymore. If you work Boston, you cannot work this club. And I said, I really appreciate what you do for me. And he goes, you don't have to. You do for me, I do for you. And I was like, well, that's not the way it is for me. I really appreciate what you do. And this, thank you for the opportunity, but I have to go if that's the case. Because I can't not do something because you're not my boss and he went, okay, you can work here.
Okay.
Literally. He went, okay, you can work both. you understand?
That's what I was trying to get at. Is this like,
I'll tell you what happened. Is somebody who you maybe like or respect or a club that you, when you got in here like the rest of us, it's a badge of honor.
It's a huge deal.
And It kind of whatever happens because it happens and it's happened to me at clubs and it, not at clubs in the city, clubs on the road that I love working that I thought we had a good rapport. All of a sudden, they're not calling. They won't use me.
Yeah,
it fucks you up. You're like, what the fuck did I do?
But to say I didn't do well at the show, I had one rough spot. Let me explain it. It was the second show on that stupid boat ride and Noam saw it. And then after that, and it was weird. You know how those boat rides are. And the thing is, Esty booked me on the second one because if you don't kill on the first one, she won't book you on the second one. So I did two shows. So obviously I did well on the first show.
I don't know because I kill on all shows.
Well, let me talk about it. Just, you know. So I did the second show. It didn't go so well. There was some drunk chick up front. I didn't want to be mean on a boat. You know what I mean? It's like one of those things where you don't want to go after somebody too much.
It was
a mental thing.
I get it, but who cares?
And I could tell Noam, like, I could just see it in his face.
Are you funny?
Yeah.
But why do you
explain
shit?
Can I explain it? I just want to explain the situation.
I think you're funny.
Thank you.
You know you're funny.
I just won't explain it. It's just because,
but I don't understand why if he thinks you're funny.
Because
or not
a lot
funny,
of people look up to him.
Nobody looks up to Noam.
Robert, I own a club and it's considered a prestigious club.
That's where you fucked up.
And I go on a I understand why he's upset.
Yeah.
And I go on a podcast
and you announce
and I say
that.
Something negative about him.
Right.
And the people who don't know him and haven't seen him and haven't formed their own opinion, then that becomes an opinion that might...
It could cost me work. It's slander.
It's not slander.
Sort of.
But an
you
opinion,
pay me to do a bit. You pay me
it's
to
un-American.
Perform.
It's un-American.
It's a little slanderous. A little.
But listen, when you lie down with dogs, you're going to get fleas. And what you guys have been doing over there...
No. We're going... Don't get off topic again.
What you guys have been doing over there is sleazy by anybody's standards.
But
you wouldn't even go on record saying you're comfortable with it.
You understand what he just said
but
a minute ago was pretty fucking... I mean, for someone to say, admit, look, you said that I'm not funny, that fucking hurt my feelings, that's pretty manly to say
that.
To somebody.
I told you that's what he would feel.
But that,
and I told you I understand it.
But that's pretty manly, dude. That's a pretty ballsy thing to say in front of a room through a motherfuckers.
Knock me out, it was manly, too. I'm not sure.
That is pretty, if he knocked you out, that'd be pretty badass.
I'm not going to knock you out.
Especially in your own apartment. I'd just lie you in your bed in the other room.
And when he's running about to tell my wife that I'm cheating on her, that was pretty
hit you in the head with one of your guitars like Jeff Jarrett.
The thing is, then, you know, after the boat ride, I opened the first nasty show at the Cellar and I destroyed in front of you. I know you saw that set.
Did he destroy?
I destroyed in front of you. Yes, you did. You were sitting on the stool.
I don't remember.
Yes, well, I saw it.
Honestly, trust me,
comics know when you're around.
That was a Christmas
and
elf.
You were around. You were either on the stairwell, but you were there and I destroyed. And it's like, you know, for you to say I didn't do well at the Cellar is wrong. I have the videos to prove it.
Okay, but if I was there.
I did well. Esty wouldn't have booked me if I bombed all the time.
Well,
let me tell
you, I didn't tell Esty to stop booking. You. I never did tell Esty that.
You told me that. You said that in the podcast.
He said it in Hebrew.
What I said was that. I don't believe I said that in the podcast. I think I said in the podcast that I told Esty that I wasn't comfortable with what you were doing.
What were you not comfortable with?
And she kind of just eventually trickled out your spots on her own.
Ratting people out fucking other girls, apparently.
The least, by the way, you were pretty doodly for talking about your golden gloves, but then you fucking went the complete chick route.
Because I think she began to feel the same way. And she had told me, and I remember this, I think she even emailed it to me, that you had started doing a different, like a more of an ethnic humor act,
okay,
which you hadn't done previously, and she didn't think it was going over. Okay. Either. And, you know, listen, just to be
he
fair,
became too American.
But I want to make a point to be fair to him. Often with certain comics, there's an arc to their thing. And sometimes they go into a new thing and try new things.
Right.
And then we book them less because they're just not doing
what you initially booked them
well
for.
As we think. It doesn't mean they're no longer funny. It's just, you know, maybe their choice at that particular time.
What you're referring to is those ethnic jokes or what I used in my audition. And when I destroyed on my audition here, and then those are the jokes that I continue to use on occasion, mostly. So it's like, that's just wrong, and it's false. Because
Joe,
I
how
use
do you feel about
jokes.
All this?
Levity. Feel levity.
Joe, why are you so uncomfortable, dude?
You guys are talking business. What about, I have
and,
nothing
and
to
who
say.
Who doesn't
not,
do ethnic jokes
not,
at the Cellar?
I'm not invited. I'm
I mean,
not
come on.
I don't. Part of this. I don't know.
Amy Schumer, come on. DePaulo, come on.
No,
who does
we
it?
We have no objection with ethnic jokes, but you were doing like strictly a spectrum, like a, you know, a rainbow of ethnic jokes. It became most of your act. And when I saw it, I didn't think it was
going was this before he
over.
Started working at the other place?
Before.
So you stopped working here before you became manager of the other place?
The spots slowed down a little bit, and that's why, you know. But for to say it because of the ethnic jokes is ridiculous.
I have opinions. I own the club, and you know, over the long term, if I make the right choices, I'll do well.
Have you ever grabbed a microphone and done stand up?
No.
Now that's the problem with stand-up comedy.
No,
But
I've been in an audience, and the audience who decides whether you're good or not. Not
absolutely.
Other comics.
And comics, the audiences came up to me, and like a lot of people from Alabama and Texas, they loved what I was doing.
Listen,
those racists.
What I'm saying is
exactly,
dude. What you said about the fucking listen.
We have a certain sensibility here, and it's worked for us.
I hate the Jews too, man.
And I was destroying. And
listen, Dustin, do you book everybody that? Any comic that wants to go to your club, do you just give them a shot?
No.
I will give them a shot if I feel that, you know.
But has there been somebody that you gave a shot and then you've thought that I'm not working out? And
Luis J. Gomez.
No, if they don't, if they crush the room.
Is that serious?
Yeah, he was booking me for a while and he stopped.
So wait.
Why? Why did you stop?
Because I started managing a club next door. And
why
my
did
barkers
you
in front of his club.
I didn't stop booking. I didn't stop booking
goes
Lewis.
All the way down to the Hudson.
I didn't stop booking Lewis.
What happened?
I'm kidding, dude. Jesus.
I didn't stop.
Holy does he shit. Still work there?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know how it is. People come at you, it's like, you know,
what
you
about
can
you,
only
Dave?
Get so many spots.
Dave Kipowitz?
Yeah, what's up?
Kipowitz.
What are you?
I mean, I've been strategically just so.
Why? What about, because it's getting a little cloudy here.
Sure.
What have you booked somebody and then stopped booking them because it's not what you initially thought they were?
I mean, yeah, the truth is, and I think we were talking
Joe
about
Joe DeRosa,
it
just
on,
say his name.
No, I love Joe.
No, you don't. Boy, no,
nobody loves Joe.
Joe kills a great comic. At the stand. He's been killing. I think that in general, it's a difficult position and you manage a club, so you know this as well. There's a lot of comics in New York. A lot of comics that you like, and then there's better comics, and then there's more famous comics. And as a club owner and booker, you only have so many spots.
Right.
So you're thinking at it from a business sense.
You want
who
the most
can
famous
I promote
people.
And get people in seats? And the people like
that's why I told
Noam
them
said they may not be the best comedy judges of who's funny, but those are the people that are paying tickets to come and see comedy in your club. So that is,
I think they're good judges.
They often are, not always, but at the end of the day, you want, whether that is the case or not, you're still,
you want your
goal number one is to fill your room.
But it's it's your formula of comics. I mean, yes, you have people, but your guys are paying.
Sure.
You can tell your guys.
Yeah. No,
you can tell the Cellar comics. You can tell your, like you said, you have your taste of what you have at your club.
Yeah, but I'm not trying to rip off the Cellar's lineup.
No, but I don't understand why if he stops using you, like I've been stopped. I think we've all.
I don't
had
care that.
That
he stopped using me. It was just
comics.
What he said about my comedy is what hurt,
Dustin,
but made me react.
Honestly, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about what I said. I really, being honest, when I said I meant to go back and take it out. I had a lot of ambivalence about saying it.
No, I think it's fair.
But
it
I will tell
nice.
You that the reason I even because I never say a public word bad about a comic. The reason I felt emboldened to say it was because that article started with, instead of saying, Noam called me into a meeting because we had started some very aggressive tactics towards his business,
okay,
he called me into a meeting to tell me he wasn't going to book me anymore, which is 180 degrees, the opposite impression of what that meeting was about. It was not about your spots at all.
Question.
And someone reading that article would get exactly the opposite opinion of me. And I feel like you live by the sword, you die by the sword. If you're going to be ballsy enough to say it to the New York Times with tens of thousands,
I didn't say that,
hundreds
though.
Of thousands of people,
what did you say?
Hundreds of
that's
thousands
not what
people
I said,
read,
though.
Hundreds of thousands of people reading it.
Okay.
Then to me to say it on a podcast where thousands of people listen to it.
You know, what did you say?
You still got the better of it.
What did you say?
First of all, and I apologize for this bullshit waitress thing. There's nothing. I got nothing on you. You're an honest guy. Okay.
You lied?
Second of all, I didn't lie, but I...
So wait, he did.
So you lied now. So he did fuck.
I'm discounting my source.
That's what it was.
I'm discounting my source. I'm discounting my source. It's a disgruntled waitress. Okay. But...
Well, I know for a fact that Dave has fucked men.
Men, multiple men.
And Dustin, just the fact that you're so quick to resort to what is obviously below the belt makes me think that maybe, you know, you have all this coming to you, because that's pretty sleazy to pull that out. Even more sleazy to do it by innuendo about waitresses.
It's a reaction to what you said about me.
Not everybody would have that kind of sleazy reaction.
I am sleazy. I never said I wasn't.
My assessment of the situation, because I was at the podcast as a guest, was I do think Noam was specifically talking about the article and defending himself about how he portrayed you, which obviously is offensive to you personally as a comic, that he was saying it wasn't based on business practices. He specifically was changing his booking, which is his right as a club or whatever his difficulty is to book whoever he likes or doesn't like. I don't think he was trying to offend you. Obviously, that's on a personal level that offends you.
Joe Lishman.
No, but you know, let's take Cringe Humor, for example. As soon as the club opened, Cringe Humor took me off the site. As soon as the club opened.
That's definitely not true.
It is true. That's you can ask Patrick. True. I asked him about it.
I will ask Patrick, but I would say this. One has nothing to do with the other.
Did you stop using Dustin?
If that's the case. First of all, we're a 3-month
old.
Don't
stutter,
club.
Pussy.
And second of all, Dustin has
Are you stipping your waitresses?
That.
I heard you were stipping your waitresses.
I'm engaged.
What an awesomely
Jewy
way.
Fucking your waitresses.
What an awesomely Jewy way to describe fucking stipping.
You're not married yet?
No.
So you do what you
I'm
want.
I'm getting married in March.
Wow, I can't believe you're fucking people.
March.
Oh, this is tomorrow.
Dustin hasn't performed at the club. And I think that, in all fairness, it is a business, and there is somewhat subtle competition, or you can have respect for each other. But obviously, you know, that's a tough position to have somebody who is – you're the manager of the club. It's your goal to make your business as successful as possible. As the club owner 6 storefronts down, that's a tough thing to have the manager of your direct competition performing and potentially bringing talent or people more than talent, because I agree with you, and that was a big part of our conversation, is that the goal ultimately would be
strip your waitresses.
No, it's synergy amongst all of the clubs.
It's a hard,
New York City.
It's a very hard thing to actually say to somebody, you can't work my club because you're the enemy.
But it's fairness to Noam, is he has great comics to have on his lineups. Look, and because you're the enemy, you're right. That's a cold line.
But ultimately, they're bars of mics. Without the comedians, absolutely, they're nothing.
Can I ask you a thought exercise? Like, really, imagine tonight they have 3 flyer guys in the Village Comedy
and that's what
Club
I was going to
surrounding your
defend
door.
Defend him on
How
that.
How are you
going to
react?
You know,
be
that's
honest.
A difficult thing. I think you would, if you were in his position, and I was saying, The real story, I think, more if he is going to be upset about something, is the flyering in front of practice, the flyering practices in front of your
That's all I
club.
Care about.
But it's not
And I'm not saying you're right or wrong. You're right. It is America. You could do whatever you want. It's his Bourbon Woo! Street. But you it still is. Have to, at the end of the day, you know, take responsibility for it and say it is what it is. It's, you know, it's this is our street as well. We have a club on it, and we're going to market the street, and that is your right. But obviously, it's going to create some kind of friction where you should probably kind of find some kind of middle ground.
There is
a solution to that.
There's a Caddy Roll that's right above us, and a Corrido's, which is another Indian type of restaurant, opened right next door. They actually both flyer. They flyer for each other.
In America.
Right. You've seen that, right? Caddy Roll is an Indian place that has the
Indian
stuff.
Are weird, dude.
But it's like they're two Indian restaurants, and they both flyer. there for yeah. each other. I mean, that's and they're my, right in front of each other.
My opinion is if you're flyering his line, that's wrong. Right. If you're not, flyering the street
we're flyering
and you're just trying to get people that are walking by, then, you know.
Listen, I have more control over Dustin's flyer street team than he does. If I move my line somewhere else, that's where his street team will go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just glad that my club is $10.
Al Martin even said it in the article. Yeah, I guess.
I got a solution. Take your street team, put it in front of the stand.
Yeah.
Take those people.
Listen, no,
right,
it's tough.
You're right next to Bleecker Street, which is a busier street than McDougal. Put your street team on Bleecker Street. Leave.
But you had problems with CB's, too.
They were doing the same thing.
The
okay, and I know for a fact well, look, they were doing the same thing.
I don't know.
I worked that club.
It's definitely a tough one because this is your
and
street.
Wayne
it's
right
not a, it's not a tough one. It's not a tough
we
one.
We should have invited Wayne on this
it's
show.
It's whether you run business above board or below board. Okay,
agreed.
There's no gray area. If you like you said, it's a business.
Bourbon
you do
street,
what you
got
to fucking do,
Bourbon
or you
street,
go.
Right.
You know what, dude. I'm not.
You know what, dude?
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not gonna. Yeah, I didn't finish it. How can you agree?
I know where you're going.
What are you, psychic? fucking
corporate Dave over here. That's who he is.
You find out, okay, you don't like him near your line. We're not doing that. They'll be on Bleecker, they'll be at Ben's, and they'll be up on 6th Ave getting people. We won't put it. And then he goes, okay. Thank you. And then you move the fuck
but
on.
But our street is McDougal, so they're going to be on McDougal.
But it
doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
Right. Keep on saying McDougal really
but Dustin,
weird.
Shut up. That's funny.
Dustin.
It really doesn't matter.
So if you
I mean, where you get people to go to... Yeah, how many seats do you have?
We have like 60. That's
dude,
the thing.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Yeah, but that's if that's the thing, then don't do it.
Right.
If you know what I mean? It's like you don't have to put them right at his line. That's kind of like
not.
A fuck you
okay.
right on the street. Because if this was one street... It's Bleecker and 6th
okay.
and over
Boston,
here.
Boston used to do the corner across from Ben's. That's where the Boston was.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
what's
pretty
wrong
close.
With that?
That's pretty close to the cellar.
Yeah, but it's
no,
it was
actually,
right there.
Boston used to do it, and then we had a meeting with them, and then they pulled it back from the corner.
Okay, I ran Boston the last 2 years of Boston.
Right.
I was the guy that was over there.
Right.
And we always had somebody around in that corner for at least the last 2 years
so
I was
you,
there.
It is you.
Listen,
it is you.
Bottom line is
yeah.
you
why don't,
are the mother.
We should
it's not Al, it's fucking you.
We should solve this right here and come up with the lines.
No. I've tried
why
that.
Can't, why
I've tried
can't
that and they've ignored every...
Yeah, but,
every
yeah,
let's come
but,
up with the
but
fair
we're,
lines.
We're, it's here
okay,
right
what
now.
About this? What, let's
it's
say,
here now.
Let's say we did come to some compromise. Then would you come to a compromise about let me... I book certain comics 1 month, you book certain comics the other month, so comics can play both rooms. Would you do something like that?
Where
I can have Greer Barnes for the first 2 weeks, you have him for the next 2 weeks. You know?
I think what you're suggesting is more offensive to the comics than what I'm doing.
Why is that more offensive?
We're divvying up where they can
well,
work.
No, no,
divvying?
No, no, no.
We're letting them play
can
both places.
Can I just play this?
Play both places.
Where, no, you're saying, look, you don't say to somebody, you can work whatever. Look, first of all, as a comic, if a club owner says, you can't work here, fuck off. That's what your response should be.
Absolutely.
We're in our thing. It should be your own choice. I don't work not your club and the cellar because Noam tells me if I work at your club, fuck you. I've already went through this with his father. I just work here because I'm more comfortable here. I don't like doing 90 spots. But if I had to do spots for some reason, I've been to the Village Lantern. I've been to the other club. I just feel comfortable here. But what you're saying is not work here 1 week and here the other week. You're saying let guys work at my club.
Yeah, I was just saying
without,
compromise with
without,
the scheduling
but
to respect.
Listen,
that's
I,
all.
What's interesting to me is that I've never actually told any comic they can't work there, but the word is filtered out.
You do fuck
but
what,
but what's,
people have
what's,
been
what's interesting is that they're very sympathetic because everybody sees these flyer guys, and it's so indefensible. People who normally would be offended by the fact we're telling them not to work somewhere say, you know what, Noam, I really can't blame you because they can't believe the balls of what's going on here.
But there's some very funny guys that you guys don't book that they're just, it's
that's
an alternative.
That's good
for
you,
for
though. That's
yeah,
good
it is.
For you.
And it's, and they basically,
right?
They're great comics. I mean, HBO type level comics.
And here's the thing, though, is you're going to give these guys exposure.
Yeah.
They're going to get so good and famous that then they'll work at the cellar
well,
and stop working
at
your place.
That's what's happening now.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like there's some guys that came through us and then now they're starting to work here. And it's like, you know, that's good. That's what you want.
That's what it has to be. I mean,
that's a gym.
I don't look at your lineups. I don't look at the cellar lineups. We have blinders on. We have who we like.
We saw your lineups. Apparently, you don't. Fucking asshole.
We also
have earplugs in. And,
man, that Jimmy Fallon last Sunday was a terrible booking.
Yeah, well, fuck you. That will all end in the first year.
Maybe, hopefully not.
You're going to be stuck with Dante.
No, I mean,
yeah,
listen,
man.
The truth is, you're right. I mean, You gotta fucked up, dude. Book your club as you see fit, and Noam can book his club as he see fit.
Right.
You obviously have a difficult situation because you guys are.
Here's the thing, though. Can you?
You're butting
next to each other. Can you say right now? It's like, look, man. You said what you. The initial thing was is that he fucked you up with what he said about your comedy.
Right.
He apologized for that. He explained why he did it. You explained why you got mad. Okay, so we're over that. You guys both fucking agreed that you both fucked up in reaction to. But he has a legitimate gripe where it's like you're trying to, and you admitted that, look, it is what it is. It's business.
It is.
You
got, right, but then you got
to. It's business when he does that. But when I try to defend myself, oh, then I'm violating some, like, we are the world, which is perfect, where all the comedians should work everywhere, blah. Then all of a sudden, like,
I didn't
I'm
say that.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're saying. If you're going to be aggressive and do things, then of course I have every right to defend myself. But the key fact is I'm defending myself.
But
I'm not aggressive
come to
towards you.
The big scheme of the whole thing, it's like, the seller's going to be fine. You're always going to have money. Like, that place has been there forever. It's going to be fine.
So how the hell do you know? We haven't always been
fine. Do not tell a Jewish man he will always have money.
You're
really
never
tapping into his fucking...
Jesus, Dave's getting red.
I am nervous.
Dave is going to go back to Middle Earth.
But it's such an arrogant thing to say to somebody.
Very comfortable.
Businesses don't go out of business. Improv didn't go out of business. Catch a Rising Star didn't go out of business.
Because they didn't have good street teams.
How great would this be if the seller was out of business next year and Dustin was the new king of McDougal, and I'd be over there doing a podcast?
It's such a ridiculous thing to say.
I really feel
we got to keep our show and our food
and
service and prices good every single day, or we will deteriorate.
Right.
Okay.
That's true.
Can we just talk about cutting for Bieber now already? Anybody?
I'll always have money. I'll sell her. Come on.
This is way
more. What do you think? It's just easy.
Well, look at you.
How'd you get your business?
But look, you're an owner. You're
an
owner.
You're coming to me about easy. Come on,
come
man.
On
I had to
one
work
second,
for everything.
Though. But you're a manager of a comedy club and a comic.
All right, hold on. No, you know, Robert, I got to answer that because it's a. You know, you say you're trying to be nice, but you're really fucking nasty. But I know what you're implying.
You're nasty too. We were moving somewhere else.
I didn't say
and
anything
you go
nasty.
Back.
No, you define nasty. I'm talking about nasty personal attacks. I'm answering the merits of what you're saying, and then you want to take a shot at me because the business came down through my family. But I had a long history before I worked here. I went to law school. I went to an Ivy League law school. I opened the Cafe Wa from scratch. After being good, and I built it up to be famous all over the world. I opened the Fat Black Pussycat from scratch.
Right.
I opened the Village Underground from scratch.
Yeah, he makes fucking homemade cookies from scratch.
And then,
with no room.
And then when I took over the Comedy Cellar after my father died 10 years ago, although my father was fantastic, I managed to continue to grow it, and it's grown
from scratch.
Not from scratch, but for you to take it, you think the Comedy Cellar was well run?
Is it now?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Do you think it has good lineups? Does it have a good reputation? Does it have good reputation with customers? People feel satisfied when they come down there.
Except for that bathroom thing, but yeah.
All right, you think that's because I inherited it? You think that just happens by itself after 10 years? After somebody dies, it runs itself.
From scratch?
I'm not saying you haven't done a good job.
You're not
taking
saying
over
I'm cheating on my wife. You're not saying, come on now. You really are
nasty.
No,
we are.
You're a nasty
cheating.
Guy.
You
and
are
you're
cheating.
A nasty guy, too.
No, I'm really not.
Yeah, you are.
What did I say that was nasty? Name one nasty thing I said to you during this podcast.
The shit you said about my comedy is unforgiving.
That's true.
That's not nasty.
Yeah,
I
it
said
is.
That when I saw him saying I didn't enjoy his set. If you're going to ask, you know what? Then you're right. Then nasty, if you're going to ask me for my opinion, and the only alternatives I have are to lie or to be nasty. I was telling you the truth, how I felt. That's not nasty.
You know what?
Bobby, you know I don't like confrontation.
Yes.
You know I have panic disorder. You know I have anxiety disorder. You ask me to come here. I think it's very unfair. I'm fucking losing my mind over here. I'm going to kill myself.
This is the
I'm 11 days sober. I'm on fucking edge. Jesus Christ. You asked me to come
so
to this podcast?
I wanted you here for levity.
No levity. And then you're giving me looks like I'm supposed to cut in on fucking
the argument.
No,
he only fucking...
I got nothing.
He invited us to because we don't work
idea.
Either of these places.
You're driving me
be.
To drink.
I knew it would be.
It's not
I knew I wouldn't be able to retain myself.
We're supposed
here's
to be good friends. You're 26 years sober. I'm 11 days sober. I'm about to drink the whole fridge.
Joe, can you hand me a beer?
Jesus. this.
Here's the deal. No, you will not.
You know,
I wish you had the
Joe.
I'm not drinking. I'm kidding.
Okay. I wish you had the audio of what I said about his, because I went out of my way in that podcast to still say he was very, very nice.
Yeah, but
we had a nice conversation. Not like I just dumped on him. I said one negative thing about it, and it was just truthful.
Saying that I didn't do well at the club. That's not truthful.
What I said was we'd already basically stopped using you.
But that's not truthful. I destroyed at the club. I know when I do good. I know when I do bad. Trust me.
Obviously, you don't.
I do know when I do well.
No, you don't.
Lewis, do I not know when I have a good set?
I can't speak for what you know, but I think you do well on stage.
I do well on stage, man. And I would know if I bombed at the Cellar. Trust me.
But here's the deal. Here's the deal is that it, like you, man, you're the manager of a club that when somebody bombs, you don't think that person thinks that they're good enough to work your club. And then
they didn't even use the word bombed.
But when you stop working them, they're like, what the fuck is wrong with this
guy?
I
don't stop working people that have rough sets because I get it. I get stand-up comedy. I understand sometimes you're going to have a shitty crowd. Sometimes you're going to try out a new bit that doesn't go over. That doesn't mean you shouldn't use the person. Joe DeRosa is a prime example of a guy that takes risks.
He never does well.
He takes a risk, though, but he's doing something different. So sometimes a crowd might not go with him. But I can see that as a comic. Right. I can see that he's taking a risk.
There is a point where you should stop working him. I mean, let's be real.
But that's what I'm saying. And then someone's so quick to be like, oh my God, he had one bad set at the thing, and bam, let's not book him anymore.
Listen,
because
I told you the truth.
He didn't do well at the boat thing.
I never told Esty to stop booking you. I told Esty that I didn't think you were funny when I saw you on the boat. I never told her to stop booking you. Then she saw you a few more times. We got some bad feedback from you from customers. Oh, and eventually on her own, without even telling me.
They were black customers, though.
Without even telling me, she had basically trickled down your spots. You were never banned. It wasn't like we don't book Dustin anymore.
But then
she just wasn't using you.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
On the podcast, you said that I told Esty to not book him as much. On the podcast. And we're going to go back and we're all going to hear it. And you said it.
Okay.
But here's the deal is that look, shit. People react to shit. People say something, and you want to say something back. I don't think you're a bad guy. I think you're a decent guy, Dustin. I wouldn't have you on my show if I thought you were a fucking dead cat. I'd be like, fuck him. I think you're a good guy, and I think that you react to things you said about whatever. You. I got shit on you. That's not you. You're a fucking decent person. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying.
Why is that not him? He did it.
Reaction to shit. But I don't think
he knows me. You don't know me.
He
knows your act.
Every time I see you, you say I'm not getting the right impression of you.
Every time you see me.
Yeah, when I see you on stage, that's not really as funny as you are. When I see you in person,
I am as funny as I am. God forbid somebody have a little lull in their set. What the fuck, dude? You got to let comics have a moment. You're going to write me off on one little set on a boat where people were drunk at like 11 o'clock?
You got sets after the boat.
Yeah, and I destroyed in front of you.
So then why did Esty stop booking you?
But did he stop? Listen, the thing is that he doesn't work here anymore. But who gives
a fuck?
Same
reason DeRosa doesn't work there, Mike Britt. So all these, I can go, the list
can
go
on. Well, what's the reason?
Because you just stop. There's no reason for it. Those are great comics.
But what do you think the reason is?
I don't know. You tell me. I don't know. That's what I'm trying to get at. You know, sometimes you just stop booking people. Just for no reason at all. My friend Nate Bargatze has like Conan and Comedy Central Half Hour specials. You guys wouldn't book him at all. He's a great comic. And he always complained,
He's
you know.
All right.
He's a great comic.
But Godfather, I'm just saying, my child, by the way.
There's a list of guys. There's a list of guys that you just kind of book because you don't want to book them.
I'm trying.
I'm looking at Joe List's face and it keeps hypnotizing me.
I'm going to kick him in his fucking dumb head, dude, and be funny.
I'm mad at you for inviting me on here.
I'll never invite you on again. I'm sorry, Joe.
You don't have anything to lose. You don't get booked at any of these
places. I didn't
know
it was a very special episode. I have a Comedy Cellar story that I've told you before.
Please.
I got passed in 06. It was the first club Nick DiPaolo was a friend of mine. He recommended me. It was the first club I ever got passed at. I had no business being here. Nick was very nice. I did one set, bombed. And then Esty was like, how did it go? And I was like, not good. And then Colin was like, what? He's like, why did you say that?
No, you always say that. You'd always say
He's
it
like,
goes
you
well,
should
no matter
never
how
say
bad
that.
It was.
And that was it.
That's great advice, by
but
the
that
way.
Was, I mean, I don't never, want that to be swayed. I had not done TV at the time. I had never been in New York. I had no business.
So you
being
don't
on
work.
The show.
You don't work the Comedy Cellar.
I do not.
You do not.
But I got past
Luis J. Gomez,
years ago.
Do you work the Comedy Cellar?
6 years
no.
ago.
No.
Does it bother you?
No, because I never auditioned.
What about you? Does it bother you?
It doesn't bother me. I mean, they have. I would like to work here, but it doesn't bother me.
When was the last time you auditioned for ESTY?
06.
So why don't you say something? You can audition for ESTY.
Well, I got it. Well, Colin said he was going to say something, and then he forgets.
But I've seen you like a half dozen times in the last. Well, say something to me.
I don't know.
I would love to audition.
So now you're glad you did. Now you're glad you're on this episode.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me on the episode.
You're going to get an. You're going to get an audition.
Every time I'm on a podcast with a comic, they get an audition right now.
How to go with Giannis?
That's actually a really funny story. The night that we had that podcast, Giannis was on it, and Giannis got a chance to audition, and he's waiting. It was like 11:15. He actually missed the set in Brooklyn so he can take his 11:15 spot, and he's sitting there ready to go.
He missed the set at the cookie factory?
No. He's waiting to go.
Yo, man,
excited.
Enjoy your chocolate chip cookies. Next up, Giannis Pappas, motherfucker.
He's getting ready to go on and very excited at about 11:15, and Chris Rock showed up and bumped him right as you're about to go on.
Who did more time, Giannis or Rock?
He just walks right by him. Chris Rock is here.
Wow.
If anybody knew who Giannis was, that was a great joke.
Did you really put Giannis up after Chris Rock? No.
Chris showed up as he was about to go on. And said he wanted to do another time.
Then Giannis came another day.
Oh, okay, okay. Wow. Because
he said he auditioned, so I didn't know how it went.
So here's the deal. I mean,
pretty funny.
Look, you guys are both on the same block. The Comedy Cellar's here. This is the main club on this street. It's been here for 30 years. You guys are an upstart right on the doors away from these people. You open up a comedy club. It's a rough fucking patch. But I believe there. You know, when you run a business, you don't have to be a cutthroat. You don't have to be fuck you. You can run your business and get, like you said, you're selling AC/DC, they're selling Led Zeppelin. All right. Your comedy show is different. It's a smaller crowd. You can fill your crowds and learn how to get your audience that don't go to the Cellar. Because they like coming to your place because of the atmosphere, because of what you present, because of the shows. And that's your thing. That's, as a manager of a club, that's your responsibility to produce the type of show that you think people want to see, you know, and you really don't need to put somebody right at the line. Those, you can put them over on the other streets and get the same results. You're getting the same people because you're walking down McDougal, you're going to hit Bleecker. People on 6th Ave, you're going to get 60 people. If you're selling a 500-seater or a 350-seater, okay, I get it. But it's 60 people. Well, you don't have to fucking put something. You don't have to have that person
Drawing 60 people is not that easy. Drawing
it's
30
not.
People.
I know, but it's not 350. It's not Caroline's. It's
you
not
still
a,
have
but
the
we,
right.
We used to have trouble
as
drawing
long as
10
you're,
people.
Caroline's, which I'm headlining.
As long as you're not on the property, I think you should have the right to be across the street or something.
That's
fine.
True, but
there's
you
doesn't do
that.
What you want, and don't complain if we try to protect ourselves.
Who's complaining? I didn't complain about you protecting
you
yourself.
Banging your waitresses.
I can't even
walk in there. I said you're cheating on your wife.
Yeah, it sounds like you're bitter about it. Security won't let me in.
I was bitter about the. I told you what I was bitter about.
Let me tell you something. I'm not easily going to forgive you, actually, for the things that you've said.
I'm not going to forgive you either.
But the truth is that even if you weren't working down the block anymore, or not even that, if they just weren't aggressive like that anymore towards us, and he was doing well, I would book him. I don't care. It's not personal.
Why would you book me now, and then now you're saying you wouldn't book me then?
Did you hear what I said? If you were doing well.
And
I was doing well, no.
What I'm saying is that
I was crushing. Linda, was I not doing well?
Oh, don't bring her
I was doing well.
She doesn't know.
I was doing well. Yes, she does.
Linda just shit the camera
she does.
No. Linda's not going to side with you. She's fucking no.
Ask the waitress.
Hold on. I want. Is she the mole?
I don't know
Linda?
Who the mole is. No.
What's
no,
a
no,
mole?
No.
The mole.
Why would you care if there was a mole if nothing happened?
You can't call me a mook.
I'm just saying that something can get me very personally angry, but I don't care. I just want to put the best comics on.
But I did
like
well.
Right.
Jesus. Look, okay, I'm glad you think you did well.
I did do well.
Okay.
All right, this is really hilarious.
I don't give a fuck what you say. This is some interesting business.
I believe you've done well.
Joe lists fucking uncomfortable fingers and face.
I did not come here to be hurt.
With his dildo thing.
Joe's just been stroking that wooden cock.
I really enjoy it.
Yeah, that's what he did back in the fucking junior high, too, when he got nervous from bullies. He just stroked a guy's cock.
I still do that, and I have to admit something I didn't admit in the previous four podcasts.
What?
I bought, this is for my own personal use, and I had no gift for the Yankee swap, and I'm very bitter that I didn't get it back.
Really?
That's why I'm playing with it.
Yeah, well, you're not getting it back now that you told me that story.
By the way, my plan
on I plan on sticking that in my ass. Yeah. Well, all right, that was
I don't know funny. If I should give, I don't know if I should give my opinion here.
You should.
I will.
You should.
I'm
from the stand,
away.
Dave Kipowitz.
I first and foremost, I have no animosity towards either of you.
Yeah, because you're booking fucking Jimmy
Fallon. No, actually,
Fallon.
I mean, Noam and I get along.
Yeah, because you're Jewish.
I don't really know Dustin very well, but he definitely knows my partner.
And he's not Jewish.
Has history with them more than I have a right. history. But I, from any time I've been friends...
Dave's got
friend,
three.
I've had interaction with Dustin.
Go ahead, Dave.
We've been
I'm sorry.
Cool. I think this is just taking back on everything that I've heard and being part of that podcast and this podcast.
Yeah.
I think that... first and foremost, what I would want to do as a club, and I'm trying to do, is right. really create some kind of synergy where that idea or that ideal that this is New York City and a strong New York City of comedy where we say this is the best place to be in New York. And mm-hmm. as club owners, we should try to strive to make do what we can to make that possible
right.
together. Now, what's happening here, I think, is there's definitely the issue of you guys being next to them. And I do think that, in all fairness, that you have to kind of accept when you say, hey, this is McDougal Street and, you know, all's fair in, you know, economy and love and war, mm-hmm. then that's what you're, you know, then that's the stance you're taking. So
are you gonna
if
cry?
You really want to, no, I just think that it's not fair.
Yeah.
It's not fair to say.
Are you choking you know, up right now?
I got a little bit of a.
The fuck is wrong with this podcast?
Yeah, you're not a real ass dude.
I was sick last week. My throat. Did it sound like I was a?
Yeah, yeah.
I could go for that if you want. I can get to here and make this dramatic.
Don't be embarrassed.
No, I'm just being very.
And here at the stand, we just want to come together.
Why can't we all just be one?
We're not cringe humor anymore. We're just humor.
That's not fair. That's not what was going on in that inflection of my voice. Let me get back to what my point was. I was just saying that, truthfully, that you could have a relationship where you look after each other's best interests yeah. and you play ball and everybody likes each
Absolutely,
other. But that's not is what that's what's not happening because you're not addressing the issue that you're, you know, there's something
I think
not,
it's two separate things, man. I think that
there is two separate
you're
things,
a comic.
Obviously.
If you weren't a yeah. comic, you wouldn't be having this problem. He doesn't like your comedy for whatever fucking reason. There's people that don't like my comedy and I don't get it. Because I'm a hammer.
Which also, by the way, let me interject. It's also easy for him not to like your comedy when there's a conflict of interest between the business.
But
it's very easy.
No,
if you don't like
right.
me.
Listen.
I didn't like it before
listen,
there was a conflict.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though. This got very personal.
Can I say,
and it wasn't
first
really
of all,
about
Noam's
the,
tone.
He started the personal.
Noam's tone is very fucking annoying. I didn't like it before the da-da-da-da. Now, la-la-la.
Yeah.
Listen.
Yeah, but I mean, if you do say, hey,
that's
you know.
A Jewish
I'm,
joke.
I'm going to
keep it going.
What I'm saying is that you're a comic, that's where the conflict lies. If you weren't a stand-up and you were just running the show, I think you might take a different stance on it because you're not you're a self-help guy. You're not a guy that just is an asshole and that's who I am. You try to better yourself.
Robert, do you understand if anybody knows how New York City works, the neighborhood organizations yeah. are extremely powerful. You can't get a liquor license renewed without them.
Right.
Before yeah. I even know they were opening, they went before the Village community organization and badmouthed us. They're over the top.
No,
it's over
up.
The top, and you want to roll your eyes
like the Sylvester Stallone
and be
movie.
Mad at me. You don't nine other club owners out of 10 in the same situation as would have come at you much harder than I did.
Yeah, but they're bigger and stronger than you.
No, I'm serious. It's so outrageous. What you guys did, so unprecedented.
The idea was to prove that you can have multiple shows with lines. Someone else is doing it. That was the idea.
No, that's,
that was
I'm
the
sorry,
idea
that's,
of it.
No, the idea was to say that the Comedy Cellar is lying, because that was verbatim what you said.
Okay.
And let's just talk about, can we end cringe humor? Can you shut it down? Because you had Janine
What's
Garofalo at your house.
Oh,
your,
well, but first of all,
so let's
cringe
just,
humor and the stand are two separate things.
No, can
absolutely.
We just, okay, listen,
oh, no,
you
that made me cringe.
You, no,
100%.
There's no more
obviously.
Cringe humor. It's dead. Me and Keith Robinson already
as
discussed
long
it.
As Patrick
it's
is alive. But the stand
we're
is dead.
We're
going to
be 3 years, by the way.
The
hey, man, look who
humor.
Came down the stand this weekend. Janine Garofalo. Was it? Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, but did it say that on the stand post or did it say it on cringe humor's post?
It said it on the stand.
Okay.
Which
so
you guys are cringe humor.
We're a business.
Cringe
you know,
humor's dead.
Chris dead. Humor's dead. All right, fine. We're, no.
No more Chris Humor.
It's completely different. I mean, it's not. That's not fair
you
to
can't
say.
Be associated with one.
There's definitely a backbone to the stand that comes from Chris Humor, but...
No,
Janine's
I'm just
great,
kidding.
First of all.
I'm kidding. Look at you. You know what? 2 years ago, if I said Janine Gravel, you'd spit and throw up.
Ugh.
You'd throw up disco fries in a parking lot. Now you're like, Janine's great.
She, Ryan Hamilton,
by the way, I watched Janine Gravel at Eastville recently, and she actually made me laugh pretty hard.
Janine, of course, Janine Gravel. Yeah. I think Janine Gravel is funny.
Have you seen Janine's HBO special?
All right, relax.
Where she brings up notes to the stage during her HBO special?
I'm going
to
say that.
First of all, shut your face. Second of all, no, I'm kidding. I'm busting your balls. I think that
the
more comedy clubs, the better it is for comics.
Absolutely.
The better it is for the Comedy Cellar, the more smaller comedy clubs, because you are cultivating the next generation.
Yes.
So that when the Dan Sodas and the Joe List, they have a place
Gomez.
To no, well, but the place, yes. You know, they have a when they come, you are the big, you're the big show, and the Carolines is too, and Gotham is too, and then when they come up, and then we then you go there and you headline you. So we need you.
Exactly.
We need the Stand.
That was my point.
You need clubs like the Stand. You need clubs like your club, because we can't all perform at the Cellar. You know, not everybody, even the guys you like, you can't give spots to as much as they need to cultivate their talent. But the tactics can be different. You can work together. I believe that. I believe that you guys can work together, and you don't have to take shit out of his mouth to put it in your mouth.
No,
this
you
is
don't.
New York City. This isn't Ohio. It's
know,
not one street in one little town.
I know where it is.
I'm not telling you. You don't know where the fuck
it
is.
I'm just saying, but when it's if you're not on property, you should be able to promote
a
show.
But that fucking what
if
you
you're
just
not on the property.
But what you just said was just stupid. I know where it. I know you know where it is. That's not my point. I'm not saying you're dumb. I'm saying that you can work together if you wanted to. If you don't want to, fuck it. You're gonna have like he said. You're gonna have to deal with the consequences of dirty play. If that's what you got
to
do for business,
I'm not trying to do dirty play. I'm just saying that we should be open. People should be open to just promoting wherever they want.
As long as
you're not on property of somebody's business, I think you should be able to do it.
Yeah, but dude,
you know, you go to the mall and they got there's a guy in the middle and a guy to the right, and he's like promoting his product. That's just what it is.
Yeah, you're splitting hairs though, dude.
I'm not splitting hairs.
Yeah, dude, going to somebody's line and going, psst, hey, what are you
doing?
They're
not going to, they're not supposed to be going to the line.
Stand right across the street from the line. Psst, listen, there's another concept.
I've heard people talking, your guys, I've heard them talking about, hey, where are you going? Did you just come from that club? You know we have a club. Yeah, I mean, it's like, okay, those things, that to me, I know you have to do it, but they have to sell tickets. Like you said, that's a job to them. It's not really about you. It's about them making a certain percentage to make the money they need to
payroll,
do.
They're not on our payroll. Like, it's a whole
understand, game. Understand, but it's sleazy.
You still got to take responsibility for your
street. Like, you know what the Comedy Cellar used to do and that the Boston used to do before you and all you guys is that we stand in front of the club and bark the people the fuck in that door, not in front of any other club that was around. Louis Schaefer stood in front of the Boston Comedy Club and sucked people into that club. And then he went and worked for the Cellar.
Where'd this guy go?
He didn't send people over to the boss. He stood in front of the Cellar. Come here, right now. Walk them in. And he represented the whole club. He was the host. He got people in. He represented the whole thing and got people. And he packed these places. And then he came here and did it to them. And that's how the Cellar, and then they took over, and his father started booking solid shows with Esty. They started booking these phenomenal shows. The people started coming, and there you go. There is a format. You don't have to take from him to put to you.
Well, right now, you know, we need an audience. I'm developing great shows.
We have an audience. They need one. They should try to take ours.
No, but see, I mean, I think Bobby was getting to a point that I think we almost could have actually come to some kind of agreement.
I was trying
here
to say
happy.
Something.
Yeah, and any good promoter can go stand.
I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to diss you.
Or
I didn't realize I was jumping.
Oh,
and
I'm just saying, go ahead, Dustin.
I wasn't looking at it. I didn't
go ahead, Dustin. Go ahead.
Keep this Texas temper down. But so, you know, where I'm trying to develop the best shows that I can for guys that, you know, that are up and coming, and also headliner guys that don't get the love they deserve.
Right.
And we are getting a lot of repeat business. They have the choice to go to the Cellar, and a lot of people come back. There's a lot of repeat business come back to Greenwich. We are getting a buzz. we are trying to develop good shows, and right. I book, you know, I book a lot of women, a lot of black dudes, a lot of different things. I'm
gross.
Trying to
because
make
because the seller is racist.
I'm not saying it's racist.
No, we are.
No, it's not. They're not racist. They book Godfrey and Sherrod, and I think that's it. But it's like, but I'm trying.
But by the way,
to
they are
good.
Very black. So
yeah, and
the seller has
way.
Great lineup.
They're
I
the
would
only,
never deny
they're
that.
The only two funny black guys. So go ahead.
Yeah. But you know, it's just we're trying to do our own thing. Yeah. And let's say a year from now we don't have street teams because right. we have repeats and people know about us on the, you know, I've got festivals coming through there and all these things I'm doing. So right. it's like hopefully it works. We had the New York Comedy Festival was there. We had huge comics come through. It was a big thing for us. So it's just, it's a matter of time where we stand on our own. Right now, we need to let people know where we're at. And that's what we're doing. You know, it's the idea of the guy in the banana suit, handing out flyers, letting people know, hey, hello, we're over here. And hopefully it goes away.
Okay,
we don't have to do that.
Okay, fine. All right, go ahead. Fair enough. But you don't conduct yourselves in what I think most people would agree is a neighborly fashion. Okay. Starting with coming to the community board and continue it. Okay. And if you don't conduct yourself in a neighborly fashion, then you don't then bitch about the fact that I don't want to let you to come in there and hang out.
I love it. Noam okay. started so civil
I
in the beginning
bitching.
Of the sentence, and then he really just fell
right.
apart.
But I mean,
really,
all
right, I wasn't
amazing.
Bitching.
Like you behave listen. In certain ways, listen. And you say, I have a right to do it, and maybe you do have a right to do it. But then, you know, be a man and say, you know,
okay.
well, I, but you know okay. what? Who would even yeah. have the nerve okay. to do the things that you guys are doing and then come into the Olive Tree and hang out. Even
okay,
if I
okay,
if,
okay.
wait, listen, if you, even if I hadn't told you, I don't want you to hang out there.
Okay.
Would you really do these things and then okay. come and hang out? Hey, Noam, how you doing?
Okay, I wasn't bitching about not hanging out at the cellar. I was just telling you why I didn't want to come on your podcast. First of all, you didn't ask me to be on your podcast. Some intern or PR person did. So you didn't come at me and say, hey, Dustin, I'd like to have you on the podcast. I'd like to talk to you like a man. You didn't do that. I had some PR
person
email
me. But I don't do
me.
I don't fucking do that. I have Kelly do it.
Okay,
I don't fucking
but this
do
is
it.
Obviously
you
know, a sensitive
him,
issue.
Yeah, but you can't.
This is a sensitive issue.
No, you know what? He has a point there. I didn't realize.
Can I have a water? I'm getting parched.
No, you know, actually, no. I take it back because this was prior to the fact that I had said anything negative about you. So I didn't think there was any bad blood between us. So I didn't see why I had to call you myself. If there had been already bad blood between us, then you're probably right. I would have thought better than to have a PR person call you. I would have called you myself and reached out to you. But we didn't have any bad blood at that point. So there was no, like my PR person called him. It yeah. wasn't like I had to yeah. have an intermediary.
Look, here's the deal.
I just didn't feel welcome. I just felt it was just going to be stirring the pot and like freaking out over the things you freaked out about.
I'm glad you did it here.
Really?
You know
I'm
why?
Not sure.
This is why I'm glad
I'm
you did
not
it here.
Sure
because
it was
if
a
you,
good idea.
If you did it there, you would have been a little out of control.
No,
because we're friends.
No,
I think
no, this is also
I think
more.
You were a little. You were honest. You look, man. Saying you hurt my feelings, it, to me, I don't give a fuck how many guys listen to this and go, "You're a faggot." Fuck you. That's Lewis just raised his hand. Do you know you're on radio? Stupid. Can you be funny on radio?
I
just verbalize
I'm
it. You fucking
trying.
You really want to just be on fucking In Living Color?
No, I mean,
listen.
Yeah.
You did it here, and you kept. You look, if you were just there on yeah. that show, you would
well,
flip out.
I mean, this brings up a lot of daddy issues. For yeah. me, you know, but this whole this we're just reaping from it in here. I just
daddy
feel
is
it
so
off
the
of everybody.
If he had come on my podcast, yeah. we wouldn't have gotten it ugly because I wouldn't have let it get ugly. I wouldn't have criticized his comedy if he had been there to talk about the Times article. He refused to come. He came.
I didn't refuse to go. I sent a nice letter and told you why I didn't want to come.
Okay. When you say a nice letter?
What was this
nice
letter?
I'll Bye. Find it.
It was on
a
like,
great
was on,
letter,
use my podcast.
Right, you talk. I'll find it.
Was
it.
On, where's
letter.
The...
great letter.
It was nice.
Rockstar Comic is at AOL.
All right,
well,
I want to hear this letter.
That's the email.
But what I'm saying is that, look, you're going to throw sarcasm. Look, when you're talking about something that you're passionate about or you're going to get fucking fucked up. You know, that's why I wanted to do it here so there's some lighthearted, we can make jokes and laugh in between the fucking serious anger or confrontation.
There's
okay?
been no laughs, by the way.
Well, I've been laughing at Joe-less fucking nervous
no,
face.
I mean, I'm brutal. You
know. Yeah, the truth. Jesus,
yeah, and,
the truth
and
is
let
Joe's
me tell
a
you,
bitch.
And let me tell you.
That doesn't always
truth.
Have to be
the
way for them to find out.
Fucking Fredo forearms over here, Dave Kimowitz.
No, but you know, it's like right when we started the thing.
I am a hairy
you know, Jew. Noam said I'm going to get ugly. And then when he said I'm going to get ugly.
No, he meant
just
literally.
Reared up my fucking. My fuck. Yes.
By the way, in light.
Did he not say it? He said I'm going to get ugly
I,
here.
I lost.
He says I'm going to get ugly here.
I lost a chunk of this
podcast. And that's
podcast.
Where I got crazy. Oh,
no,
that's,
I'm
thank
kidding.
God for that.
No, There's a. I apologize for that, but yeah. Look,
you like the Godfather references? I would like by the way, I do not appreciate the freedom.
I want to hear the letter because then we got to wrap. I want to wrap this up because I don't want to. I don't want to. I think we hit a lot of stuff here, and I want to come to a conclusion and wrap this up. So good. Read the letter.
I'm not a bitch. I'm just you guys. This is a you guys are having a conversation. What am I supposed to do?
I don't know. Chime in with some fucking quips.
I'm trying to have jokes, but you guys. I'm not trying to interrupt.
You haven't tried to have any jokes. I've tried jokes.
Listen, don't
none of them have worked.
Don't yell at Joe. He's nervous.
He wants to work the cell.
Go ahead.
I really appreciate the offer that that brat Nom gave me to participate in the
Hey, that was a joke.
I really appreciate the offer to participate in the Comedy Cellar podcast. I would rather not continue to stir the pot about the article in the New York Times regarding the Comedy Club turf wars. I would always be open to a dialogue of the affair. I admire the Comedy Cellar. It was one of my defining moments in getting past and playing there. It was such a tough decision for me to take the position Greenwich Village Comedy Club. It was something that worked for me, and it has never been my attempt to create animosity with the Comedy Cellar. I've talked to the freelance ticket stream team about being respectful to the cellar, and unfortunately, I can't always monitor their practices. I will.
I'm inside the club.
Why can't he monitor their practices?
Because he's fucking
I'm inside
the club.
The club.
Well,
I'm
you know what?
Producing
why
the shows.
Why don't you get out of the club and walk down the block a couple times a night?
Hey.
I always
read
tell.
That,
I always
have
just
a food
read.
Certificate.
I'm sorry.
Oh, let me say something. You have to have
I
a
always
food
let me just finish
okay.
reading.
Just
I
read this really nice email.
I
from
always
Dustin.
Tell people who confuse us with the cellar how to get to your club, and I never try to dupe people in any way. I hope for the day the comics can play both rooms without consequence. I truly love the art of stand-up comedy and will cherish my moments at the Comedy Cellar. I miss the staff and the awesome food.
You know what? Dustin's right. It's I take it all nice back.
I am on Dustin's side. Everybody for Dustin, raise your hands.
Dustin is right. Dustin is right.
Gnome is an asshole. Gnome is an and he cheats.
He killed a waitress.
He is more than one baby.
A great crowd. Thank you. Good night.
Joe List is still scared. Look, I have a solution. Everybody just go to the stand. Fuck the cellar and the other place.
Fantastic
solution.
Let's just make them. Close the podcast on that one.
Yeah, I'm sure that will happen.
I will be at the stand tonight, by the way, after I headline Carolyn's.
Yeah. There's no room at the stand. There's fucking Jimmy Fallon and Janine Garofalo.
Fallon didn't perform. He watched
the
comics.
Listen, buddy, he didn't perform. That's true.
Don't get technical.
He did not perform.
Fucking asshole.
He had two beers. And this place is great.
Oh, God.
He was a really nice guy.
It's unbelievable in here.
That is a fucking really nice letter, Noam. Jesus
it
Christ.
It was a nice letter.
Beautiful letter. That is really and like a respectful.
If only Dustin could write a joke as well as he could write a letter.
Oh, shut up, dude. Really? And you wonder why I don't book you anymore.
Oh!
Listen, it was nice, but I don't. The thing about I can't monitor their practices is a cop out.
Well, of course, it's not a cop out. Can I explain something?
Let him explain.
I can monitor the practice of anybody who's representing me.
Okay, first of all, we're a very small staff, and in order
you're right down the block. Just step out when somebody's on stage and take a look at where they are.
Can I talk to you? Listen to me. We're very small staff. In order to manage a operation such as we have, you have to have a food certificate. You have to be on the premises to have that food certificate. Because if the health department comes in and you don't, and there's somebody there not without that certificate, then you get fined. So I'm in the club a lot. So I don't have a lot of staff. I only have like 3 or 4 people on staff at all times. You have a huge thing going on here. I don't have that.
So send one of them down. We're only 6 doors down. Send one of them down to just.
And I have.
We take a look to see where the flyer guys are. Okay. Well, but
I will.
Listen, the deeper
will.
The deeper
you have
issue
my word,
here,
I will.
But the deeper issue
you
is
hear
here
that?
That you, no,
I will.
Whoa.
I will send
no,
people down.
No, don't get confused here. This is bait and switch.
Here we go again.
Because, well then, okay, are you telling me that you won't put them on Manettas anymore? Amanetta?
I'm going to say I'm going to monitor what they're doing.
And if you monitor them and find them on Manetta.
He's
going
to high five
well,
them.
Well, Manetta is not your street.
Right, so what?
You don't own Manetta.
But that's where our line is.
It doesn't matter. You don't
well,
own Manetta.
Then we don't own any street.
Exactly.
So then,
that's the point.
So what could
that's
you,
the point.
So if you, find, if you find them somewhere, what would be over the line to you?
What if
just be respectful of the Comedy Cellar?
Yeah, but what does that mean?
What if he hired people?
You understand why I say
this is the thing though. What if he hired people with his millions of
he's
dollars?
Probably had
billions.
He probably had some meetings with the street team and realized it's a pain in the ass.
Let me
yes
ask
no
you a question.
No,
if
I've
haven't?
Never had a meeting with the street.
If he, what if he hired people to do the same to you?
We just go at it.
That suck.
We go all go at it.
But wouldn't it suck?
I
for
wouldn't
you
care.
What if there were people going, look, this is the world famous Comedy Cellar. That down there is a piece of
well,
shit.
I'm
blah,
sure
blah, blah, blah. Like, what if he did that?
They're opening a new club probably close to another comedy club. I mean, everybody's going to have to deal with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but what if they did that? Wouldn't that suck?
I don't mind you opening up near me. I don't
understand.
Mind.
We get it. I get it. I understand what the problem is. But my defense is Mineta is not part of your property. And if people are walking away from the cellar.
They're walking to the cellar. They're waiting on standby to see if they can get okay. in.
So wait a minute. This New York Times article was completely accurate. Away. This is really a comedy turf war. None of this was.
Al Martin said in the article.
Syrians
that
dying
he admitted
is a
they
war.
Tried to get
this
our business.
Is nothing in the scheme of really what's important in life.
It's important to me.
Well, it's not important in the scheme of everything because life is fucking awful right now. And we're arguing about, what is it, 16 people, like 10 people, 5 people? That's all it is. And if these people, they have the choice. And if they get a better deal down there or they get younger comics down there and that's what they want, because we have a lot of younger comics.
You're a dinosaur, Bob Kelly.
Because we have a young,
Dustin,
my roster's really young.
Dustin, do what you want, but don't bitch if I have the nerve to complain or to, God forbid, say something you don't like. I didn't fire the first shot here. I don't fire any shots. I'm not aggressive towards you. I don't try to get even with you. I don't hire people to go down there. I don't do anything to you except try to protect myself from you.
And your golden gloves.
And your accusations.
Well, you know, I knew this would go wrong.
You guys are laughing about it. Imagine if he said that to you.
I'd test that golden glove shit out. Yeah. You're not as big as me.
I'm serious. It's the kind of thing that somebody
You're a very
gets,
small guy.
It is absolutely the kind of thing that somebody Listen, gets punched in right after they say it, they get punched
punch
in the nose.
No, I don't care.
And
no,
Bobby does shit.
I'm not going to punch
I
you. What
it.
I'm saying is that
I deserve it.
It's not the kind of thing you normally say.
Well, you know what? I defend my art, and when somebody comes at me, that I get aggressive. I'm sorry. That's the only thing that I really care about the most right
I
now.
Really wish that we... When I wanted this to happen, I wanted it to be fun and kind of not take each other too serious. I understand that you take your art serious. So do I, dude. If he didn't think I was funny, I wouldn't give a fuck.
Yeah,
because nothing.
You know,
because I know
it's
I'm
a different
funny.
Situation.
Yeah, but I've had people go, Robert's not
but
funny.
But if he said it on the air without you there, you probably wouldn't be so happy about it. Maybe
I've had people say it on the air. I've had people say
it was
I've had people say it on ONA. Okay, where they let a caller in, and the guy
callers
says,
don't count.
And I've had comics say it. I've had Norton
industry.
Bust my balls.
I'm talking about people that put money in your pocket. It's a whole different thing.
Okay, but did you ever stop? Was it outside the realm of the way you think when you heard me say it? Say to yourself, you know what? That's fucked up. On the other hand, you know, I do send my flyer guys in front of his place all the time. We did go to the community board meeting. I can see why he would give
I didn't go to the community board meeting.
Yeah, but it's your place.
I didn't do that. Okay, I know, but I didn't do
it. Did you ever say, I can see why he would say something
one
like
second,
that.
One second, for any YKWD fans, we're giving 10 free tickets to Dustin's Comedy Club.
BritishOldsComedyClub.com.
I'm kidding.
Get what you pay for.
Oh.
Great comics. Yeah, really good comics.
Very actually. Young, apparently.
Doug Stanhope's coming. All right.
Look, I don't think you guys. I thought it was going to go different. I thought it would be a little more lighthearted. I know you, and I know you.
Yeah.
You guys are. He said some shit that you took very serious. You did some shit, or your club did some shit that he took very serious. You both made valid points. I think that your feelings got hurt as far as the stand up. That bothers you, and I think that being a part of this club, being accepted by the Comedy Cellar. It means a lot to you, like a lot of us that are. And when that was taken away from you or taken for granted, or you didn't think, he just kind of said, oh, he's not that funny, and you can't be here anymore, or you're not working here anymore, that fucking bothered you. I don't think he's wrong with saying, hey, dude, you're the enemy, you can't come here. I did at the beginning, I don't anymore. I get it. It's like, why am I going to let somebody who wants to...
Take
me down or take people from my money out of them, whether it's $5 or thousands of dollars. It doesn't matter because you can't decide. I get it. But I look, if you're going to take the stance of, look, we have to do what we have to do because we're small and we're new, you have to deal with the consequences.
I get it.
I understand
it. And I'm okay with it. But my comedy had nothing to do with the argument of people in front of his club or people out on the street.
That's why you should have told that Jason Zinnemann that. You should have told Jason Zinnemann that I called you in a meeting about your flyer guys.
I did. You don't know what we talked about on the phone. That's what I did.
Then why didn't you explain that to me when I invited you on the podcast?
Because I sent you a letter telling you I didn't want to stir the pot.
So are you saying that Jason lied?
I'm not saying he lied.
Well, you can't.
I'm saying that
you're slippery now.
You know that.
Well, you have to be in this business because it's not a solid answer.
Did you tell him that or you didn't? If you didn't tell him, did he make it up?
Okay.
This mafia angle was all his idea.
Not the mafia angle, that the meeting was about me taking away your spots, when the meeting was about the flyer guys.
Of course, the meeting was about me taking the position over there, and then we talked about several things. We did talk about me not playing at the cellar.
The meeting was only about the flyer guys. You brought it up.
You brought it up.
No,
you said
no.
You start to talk about lying. We had a meeting.
I remember it almost verbatim.
And so do I.
I did not bring it up.
Look.
You brought it up and you said,
"All right, you tell me what you heard. I'll tell you what I heard." This is what I heard. You go next. You're next.
Okay.
This is what I heard. Yeah. SD asked me to come in.
Right.
I for shits and giggles, I put in for avails, and then when I knew this place is opening, and I put in for avails, and then the next day I got a text, and SD asked me to come in and have a meeting with her and Noam. So I come into the meeting, sit down, Noam offers me a drink.
Were you wearing a cowboy hat?
Of course. Oh, Noam offered me a drink.
Was there a dead waitress on the table?
I said...
Were you wearing your golden gloves around your neck for intimidation factor?
I said, no, I don't,
in the corner?
I said, no, I don't drink.
I'm just listening.
I said, no, I don't drink. I'm sober, I don't drink.
Was Bobby making old man noises on the side?
We sat down, and then Noam started talking about, he heard that, you know, I'm being involved in this new club that's opening.
Right.
And we talked about, you know, he said, this is competition to me because we've had problems in the past because of CBs. Mm-hmm. People would fly in front of our club. We would hope that you guys be respectful, da-da-da. We had some dialogue about that, and he says, unfortunately... You know, you're not going to be able to work here. I can't have you hanging out here. You're going to have to kind of not be able to come in the building and da da da. And it went about that. And you can't tell me it didn't go like that, Noam. That's kind of how it went.
But also,
that's exactly how it went.
Okay,
it went one to another. It did. It went from one topic to another.
The only reason I asked Esty you to come in was because the flyer guys and if I recall, Esty had actually spoken to you, and then after you would
the club hasn't even opened yet. There were no flyer guys.
So I asked Esty to ask you come to talk to you about the flyer guys.
There were no flyer guys yet. The club it wasn't even open. It opened 3 months after this meeting.
No.
It did.
No, that's not just. That's not
or
the case.
At least 2 months. When was the meeting? We've got to figure out when the meeting was.
July.
Okay, so maybe it was like a month.
And
after.
You had spots up until the beginning of June.
Okay.
You hadn't been booked in like 5 or 6 weeks. I think the end of May you had spots, and then you guys were already open. Or maybe you're doing your soft.
We were not open.
Maybe
before.
Doing your soft opening.
This I can guarantee. We were not open before the meeting.
But anyway, the meeting was about flyer guys, and because that's the only thing I cared about. It's the only thing I care about. I don't need to call you in for a meeting to not book you. I would just tell book him.
But there's I can prove that we weren't open.
There's
before
There's no
meeting.
Reason to call somebody into a meeting about not booking them. It's just like putting a big punctuation in their face. I'm not booking you anymore.
Okay.
It was only about the flyer guys. And you brought up, listen, I hope that you know you understand and this won't get in the way of me not being able to work here in the future. And I said to you, absolutely not. There are no hard feelings. I remember saying to you, we're not booking you. So how could I blame you for taking a job to further your career? That was a direct quote. I said, we're not booking you. How could I blame you? At the point where you're not competing with us anymore, you can come back in here as if nothing ever happened.
Did he say that?
Something to the effect of that, sure. But I'll tell you this. There was no street team yet. There was no flyer people yet because the club had not opened.
Okay, but he was just worried about it.
Okay, took it as a meeting, like whatever.
Yeah, but he said that you can come back after if you get funnier. I'm kidding. He said, but he did say that. That sounds pretty legit to me.
It was legit, and I never said it wasn't.
But then, how did you go from opening the club and then, you know, when you knew that he did the second weekend he ran over the club,
which I said is fine. I go, please contact me when there's something you don't like. And I ran down to the corner, and Esty was there as well. And I talked to Esty, and I told the guy, I said, look, do not stand in front of the club.
But they do.
Well, okay,
they still do to this day.
But I told him, I said, but when I say front of the club,
hide behind
here's
it,
what happens.
Nothing you can do about
I'm
it.
Not
you're
hiding
short,
behind
like
anything.
Short staff.
Hire Lewis to beat the shit out of these people.
Sup? I'll fuck.
I'm not
up.
Short staff. It's economics.
I'll do it for the two spots a month that Dustin doesn't do it anymore.
It's actually smart business to have a small staff when you have a 60-seat room.
It doesn't do what you want.
Okay.
But I'm just saying,
here's what happened. Somebody apparently went over. This is what Esty told me. Somebody walked over to the club, one of the street guys, and they were looking at the lineup, which is bullshit, and they were in front. They were on the property. And I told him that same night that you ran over and got me, I said, look,
don't fucking stand in front of the club. You want to stand here, which is on Mineta, across the fucking thing. I'm okay with that.
Mineta.
But don't stand in front of the club and fuck with them. Don't look at their lineups and don't stand on their property. I said that. And if I see that now, I will pull somebody from there.
Right, but you understand that.
Do not want the people on your
where
property.
Where they stand on the corner of Mineta is much more strategic to taking our customers
still
than right
property.
In front of the club.
It's still not your property.
It's the intent. I know it's not in front of our property. Listen, in front of the club is not our property. We own the building.
Okay.
We don't own the
let's
sidewalk.
Say they were on the, let's say they were on the stairs. That would be your property. Listen, you know what I mean.
It's just the intent of trying to siphon somebody's business and then being alarmed or shocked that the person whose business you're siphoning is trying to stop it and is resentful of it.
I'm not
and
shocked.
And might even say, you know, I don't think the guy's funny.
I'm not shocked. I get all that. I understand why you react the way you are. But I'm just saying, we're going to exist. We're all going to exist. There's going to be great comics here. There's going to be great comics over there. And it's just, and the art will flow.
But the best is at
and
the stand.
It's
tonight at 8:30.
Yeah, because they have Janine Garofalo, Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel.
That still means then that, you know, the rift will exist.
Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, and Dante Nero.
Dante Nero.
All living and existing.
David Letterman and Jay Leno are headlining tonight at the stand.
Yeah. All right. Listen, I thought this would go a little different. I think, look, at the sum of it is, Gnome, you're fucking, we're at the same exact spot. I mean, you are going to run your club the way you're going to run it to survive. Yeah. Gnome is going to have to defend himself and take care and hire Lewis to kill the people you hire. Joe List is going to get
radio.
A shot at the Comedy Cellar just to make you look bad. and the stand is going to take everybody down slowly. But, I mean, look.
Strategically, quietly.
You know, like I said, Dustin, like you know, I get him not liking your comedy and the way he said that, but he admitted that.
I know, look, and I accepted it, and I accepted it, and I told him why I acted the way I did, and I'm just an asshole, and I get there, and we all get there.
There's two different things here.
We all have daddy issues in here. We're all fucking nuts.
There's personal.
You have an issue with my daddy.
I don't have an issue with your daddy.
I've never met my father.
I mean, the inheritance thing.
I have three.
I have daddy issues. That's why I don't like confrontation.
Yeah. Shut up, Joe. No.
I don't have daddy issues. That's what I say. I have mommy issues.
Yes, you do. Okay.
Yeah, he has mommy issues.
We all have issues of some
sort. Jews have mommy issues.
Look at Gnome's hips.
We're all in therapy, I assume. I need to be.
No, Gnome doesn't believe in therapy.
Okay.
Let's get into that.
I can't afford it.
I would hope that, you know what?
Jesus.
Hey, you say one thing at the end.
Woo.
Good for you.
Sometimes minding your own business is pretty funny.
I hope Joe loses to
on air.
I hope that you maybe you fucking get those guys off that corner. I agree with Noam. I know you keep saying it's not your property. That's whatever. The intent, dude. You're a smart guy. You know what's up, but you do what you do. I mean, you do what you do. You know what I mean? It's whatever you
got
to do.
I got other things to do. I got other things in this business that I do, and it's like, you know, I just want to be able to be an artist and create a scene for comics. And that's, I care about the comedy.
Right.
I care about comics. I want comics to develop. I think it's important to take people under your wing. That's all I'm trying to do. I know you're attempting to do that as well. Mm. And that's the only reason I took it is because I want to create a comedy scene. That's why. It's not because of any bullshit management. It ain't because of the money. It's just because I want to create a scene. I want that CBGB's a comedy. That's what I want. I want a new scene of comics because I think, like you guys said it in the first cast about how Patrick approached the Cellar, where they didn't feel like there was a new wave of comics coming through, and that's what we're doing. You know, we're creating new comics.
About you,
and it's a young, and I'm telling you what, Creek in the Cave, when they get a TV show, we're all done. We got to go a different direction with young comedy.
What do you mean?
I feel like the comedy, the club comedy has taken a little bit of a low. I mean, people are starting to be a little less interested
in
it.
I'll be at Creek in the Cave February 7th.
Yeah, I mean,
what
I think
is, I'm there. I'm just saying alternative comedy in general is going to take an upswing. And I think
alternative comedy took an upswing.
What are you talking about? Every fucking comic on TV has fucking leather elbows and a sports jacket.
It's not going to.
It's a beard, a book
that
bag,
and
a radio
t-shirt. Typical comedy club has to adapt to that.
That's just comedy. That's
and
not
has
that,
to adapt to it. And that's what I'm trying to do there.
Comedy clubs are in trouble, you're saying?
I'm not saying they're in trouble, but I'm saying we're going to have to make decisions and bookings. And I think the young, because I think the club crowd is going to die out. And I think it's going to be a different audience.
The Comedy Cell will always be there. I don't have to worry.
I said the audience will switch out. If you don't do, if you don't book the next young thing or whatever, yeah, I think it will.
I don't.
If you have the same,
look at funny
same guys.
Let me tell you something. Fuck this alternative. Fuck the edgy, the cringy.
No, you gotta have it.
Listen to me.
You gotta have it.
Funny.
Gotta
have what? Funny.
It is.
Funny's yeah. funny. That's
yeah, but
it.
You, but you
and the, but you as a club, it's your responsibility to put the funniest people you think. Not if they're fucking. Look, you can put just all one style of. I think yeah. you're killing yourself. You'll
absolutely.
Have those people.
Absolutely.
But as soon as that style dies, your club dies.
No, but
when you put on a show from beginning to end that has a bunch of different people, but all of them have one thing in common, they're funny at what they, their approach to comedy.
And they're white men.
And white men, and not as much black, and not that many women, you're, and one Indian, you're going to have a very successful show.
Cha-ching.
And if
Did
you're
you
getting
read
laughs,
our business plan?
Hang on 1 second. Joe, do you see how you can make a point and be funny at the same time, you nervous Nelly? Go ahead,
I think
Dustin.
That yeah, but I think it's clear that everyone agrees that you're done. That's what it seems.
Yeah.
Wow, that hurt.
Wow.
That just hurt. That wow. just hurt.
It's true.
Well, that you hurt. Look at him. Noam just looked at me like, no, he's right. He's very.
Well, he was saying kind of that we need to change.
Yeah,
you the gotta, older established comics that are working at the club if we expect to survive.
Yeah, I think you
and
should
that
really
kinda, that would kind of mean
Bobby,
should
really Bobby hit on the nail. You just no, got to look funny.
I don't
That's
know about
I'm
your
doing this podcast. When that day does come, yeah. I'm just going to come up here and do a
How
show.
How many more Quinn sets can this club survive?
Well, folks, sometimes you know, folks, not all the jokes are winners. I'll wow. go over to the stand. They'll let me do 30 minutes, take no, a photo but, and twit the fuck out of it. Guess who showed up tonight? I'm kidding. I love you guys.
I got to go.
All right, buddy. I'll see you later. Noam, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Do you feel feel like you came to anything? Any resolution resolved? Is this over for you, or do you have anything last words you want to say?
No, I'm good.
No, that was really passive.
That disappointing. I know. I'm not supposed to say yes, and I know how you guys are, but I don't have anything I want to say. Okay. I mean, I just wish they would stop what they're doing. That's all.
What the line thing?
The line thing. Yeah, that's and it. I'm sorry that I spoke candidly. On the podcast about how I felt, you know.
But Dustin, you appreciate his candor.
It may not have
an apology.
It, you know, in retrospect, I don't know. Like I really didn't mean to erase it, just because I didn't want to have bad feelings, you know.
Okay.
But
yeah. I'm sorry I got hot headed. You know, it's just like it's just something that happened, and I'm sorry.
I'm sorry that you bang your waitresses.
I'm sorry that you kill people, Mom. I'm sorry.
It was bang waitress. Something else he said.
You murdered a waitress.
Murder a waitress.
Yeah, and you actually kill new you kill
Topeka.
Women comics.
It's uncomfortable.
Wait a minute, you can't. I don't give a fuck. I don't care what you say. Gnome oh, is funny. You can't fuck with Gnome.
Oh, that's funny.
Gnome's funny. And wow. Dustin, the same to you. I know. Listen, man, you're like me. You're probably worse than me.
Yeah.
A little bit. Your temper.
Yeah, I'm bad.
You get a bad temper, man.
Bad.
You
I
take...
want to jump over there.
Yeah, you're a comic and a manager.
Well,
you know,
take things personal. I do too. But you take things personal real quick. And it's you just... when he said something, and I tried to, you know, look, it's like I don't take it personal.
I
man.
Know, I know.
This is an
I
exercise.
Tried. I really did. And it's like when it's just like he gets out those eyes and he's looking at me, and then he said, I'm gonna get ugly here. I'm gonna get ugly here. I'm gonna get ugly here.
Why
he said
that
it like three fucking times, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm gonna fucking hit you back. And
yeah,
that's he didn't have to
but
do
yeah,
that.
But I don't think he meant it that way. And
I know.
I'm not
you understand
defender.
Where I'm coming from.
I understand where you're coming from.
Oh, yeah, all these shows they stand together.
If I will try to be as you know impartial as possible here.
That's because with the stand.
If
does.
You can accept that because I'm a comedy
Remember they were
club
cringe humor?
The Sweden of comedy
yeah, remember,
clubs?
Remember they were the cringe humor where they'd be like, this bitch ain't funny. Fuck that cunt. Now it's like, I am
that
partial.
That wasn't me. That wasn't me. But I will stand. I will back my partners on that. Yeah. I will back Patrick on that.
Ah, God damn it.
I mean, I think, and you said it yourself, you being honest with yourself was that you brought a lot of baggage to this discussion, so it became very personal about him offending your comedy.
Yeah, that was. I mean, look, you were a little out of line. Be honest with you, dude. As a friend, the thing, you know, you didn't need to do that. The way to beat that stuff, to beat somebody like that, if you got is to not react.
I know.
It's just not react. And it's just like, nah, all right, whatever, dude. I don't even know what that means.
But Dustin's a real ass dude. I get it. I get it.
Yeah, but
it's just honest. I'm not
But you always know that somebody's
gonna like
you.
The exact thing that you accused him of doing, like, you know, talking shit about you on a podcast, you started throwing some fucked up shit out there.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I wish I could have helped.
That's
not you. That's why I didn't want to do it.
That letter is you.
Yeah, and that's how it should have ended. And that's the thing. On the podcast, he said, well, Dustin just didn't want to do it. He said he was too busy. He never mentioned that I sent a nice letter. He never mentioned
any of that. Well, there you go. The letter got read.
That was a nice letter.
That letter got read. That was a great letter.
I'll give you a point for that.
And that's what I wanted. That was it. That's what I wanted to
present. I give you credit for that letter. And I will call you a faggot, too, for writing that letter. No, I'm kidding.
But I just think that, truthfully, again, I'm trying to step away from as club owner of the stand.
That's what the stand does.
Fine, we'll throw it in. No, is that there's a real thing there where he's saying to you that you're taking from his customers specifically, and you're admittedly saying, you know, all's fair in love and war. And
what is your stance on that? Seriously, have a stance.
I do have
being
a stand.
Being the stand,
I think that you have a neighborhood that's I would kill to have the street traffic in front of your club.
Sure.
You don't really need to be on Mineta. I don't think you need to. You could do
easy for you to say.
I have a street team. It's hard, really hard where I am.
Easy, I'm just saying, easy for you to say that it's not, trust me.
I'm just saying, you're right, I get it, and it's your business, you can do what you want, but you have to then at least accept the fact that you're going to stir the pot.
Well, I
with
get it.
No, well,
and by the way, this was the point that I was making about Gnome, though.
That's all my
and
point.
About him saying you're not funny, because like it's like this, you know when you don't like a chick, and maybe if like you liked her, you'd be like, oh, she's really hot, but because you don't like her, you could pick out all the ugly things in her. Mm-hmm. I do that a lot with like girls'
wife.
I just think you can't be both. You know, like you can, and that's
right.
That's it.
You're right.
I mean, you could say, hey, I got a business, and you need to put people in seats, and that I get, but you can't say that I'm not going to understand that you're annoyed.
He could say that he does not think I'm funny. That I can deal with.
We but all
to
say tell, that.
Okay. But
by the way, he's holding his temper in right now.
But to tell me, look, to tell me, trust me, to tell me I did not do well at the Cellar is ridiculous.
Okay.
Because I went out of my way to slam those fucking spots I got.
Right.
And it was something else. Maybe I did some Jewish jokes, maybe I did some redneck, whatever. I don't know what made him not like me.
Right.
But it's not because of the laughter. The laughter was always there because I slammed.
It's never cool when a club stops using you, dude. It's never going to feel right.
Right.
But it's never going to feel right on your ego or your self-esteem, which are two things that drive comedians.
Yeah.
It's never going to feel right. Believe me, I know. There's clubs that I love doing that won't use me, and I don't know why, because when I was there, every single show I killed. Did I sell out every show? I could have said something. I could have done something. Somebody who likes could have... trash me. Who knows?
Yeah, dude, you might look like a chick that banged the booker's fucking wife one time.
It could be your material. He doesn't like what you're doing.
It could be that.
It's subjective.
I mean,
that's
be anything.
You're a comic, so you take that.
But here I am, dude. I know I'm funny. I know that every time I go up, I can. I'm a fucking hammer kid. But it sucks. I understand that. But I never confronted Lucian or any of these guys. Even Al. I never fucked with him. It's just you don't get me, or you don't treat me the way I want to be treated. Or
Al loves you.
I'm done. All right, that's fine. I'm good. You know what I mean? And I never held it against them when they called me and say, will you come work the club now that you're somebody or whatever? Yeah, absolutely. I'll come down and do a benefit. I never held it against them when they wanted me back. You know what I mean? Right. Or they asked me to do something for them. It wasn't like, fuck you. I don't need that resentment. As a recovering person, as a therapeutic guy who tries to better himself, I'm not gonna be you because you're being you. I'm not going to treat you the way I don't like the way you're treating me. Fuck that. I'm going to be me. And I don't want to, when he said that about you, what I would hope that you would bring onto the show was, it was like, look, I know who I am. The people that I give a fuck about know who I am. I have a job. I do my shows. I don't give a shit what you think. Fine, I don't work your club. Okay, I get it. It's your place, your decision. You say I didn't do good. I say I did. I don't care.
Yeah.
That it gives
no,
a fuck.
I understand it. It's just, and that's the place I think we're all seeking to get to. You know, you know. I wish
I'm
I was
there.
In that place.
I'm there now.
I wish I was.
Come
you
with
know?
Me.
And he does bring out a lot of daddy issues in me, and he does bring out things that make me just react. And
I can't wait to have comics have daddy issues with the stand. It's and
nobody's
be awesome.
Listen to me. First of all, and, nobody's you know, daddy issues
with
Chris,
Patrick.
David, and
people
Patrick.
Do. Oh, come on.
And I suppress a lot of my anger, and I, you know, years ago I'd have been drunk here on a couch. You know, with whiskey and on my breath, and I probably would have jumped over there. But I've come a long way for me to just
this
have
is a long way. Holy shit!
No, I didn't think it was ever going to get violent.
I'm just saying that.
If anybody made a move, I was not going to let that happen.
He's not going to make a move.
I have Chinese stars.
If nobody's making a move. I'm just saying. I said my past. I'm just saying in general. It's like
I did the best I could. It's just when he came at me and basically just waved a flag saying, I'm going to be a dick. I'm going to be a dick. I'm going to get ugly. And that's when I said, all right, motherfucker, get ugly.
You got a little...
Get ugly, motherfucker.
I don't think that's what he meant, Dustin. And I'm not defending him.
But I'm
just
saying what I heard.
He was saying he's going to say something that you may be offended.
I understand what the word ugly means. But I'm just saying that's where. But that's how I felt.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, Dust. Yeah. Honest to God. What? He said, he was literally saying, look, I might say something that you might think offensive. You know,
word ugly is pretty intense.
Okay,
that's an intense word.
Ugly. Take personal.
He might take personal.
Word. He didn't say that.
He said ugly.
But you went, fuck you. Go ahead. Yeah. You fuck chicks.
Yeah, I got crazy.
dude, on a guy level.
I fucked up.
That's fucked up. And then you said it's not true.
I didn't say it wasn't true. I just said
it doesn't matter if it's not true. It's not true. I know Noam. I know his past, but I know him now. And he's a fucking, you know, come on, dude. That's going from 0 to 60. And you.
I just said, this is what I said,
by
the way.
20 to 80. I mean,
it was from
moving.
20 to 80.
This is what I said. I said, I said maybe I know some things about some waitresses. I didn't say what it was. I just said I know some things about waitresses.
That conversation should have happened before this conversation.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Is he's saying something that he really said, and you might find it offensive. I'm going to say something that really happened, and I'm telling you that you might be fucked up by this, and I'm sorry, but this is what it was. And you brought some shit out of nowhere, like ammo. And you got fucking,
you heard the word ugly.
The guy who wrote that letter and the guy who did that shit's two different people.
Of course.
So
that's why I didn't want to fucking do the podcast.
It's good that you did it. You know why?
I didn't want to do that because I didn't want to.
It's good that you did it because you faced yourself with yourself and other people. You're actually discussing it with you, people that know you and give a fuck about you. If you did this,
that's why I sent the letter.
But it's
gone.
Look, it's fucking. Yeah, but you can't always send a letter, bro. Sometimes you got to look a guy in the face and be confronted with your own bullshit and know for you what the fuck's good and bad for you. That's it. And you're confronted with your own shit right now. What you did right and what you did wrong, and that's a good thing. Okay, that letter, I fucking hate letters. Somebody sends me a fucking letter, I won't read it. Because I want you to look me in the eye and tell me what the fuck. Tell me what you feel. You know what I mean? Like, I've had people try to, like, managers or agents or friends try to, hey, I'm writing you, fuck you, crinkle, get the fuck. Call me or say it to my face.
That's how old Bobby is, that he gets real letters in the mail.
Crinkle. You know what I mean? It's like, that. I understand why you did it. He's not your friend or whatever. I understand. But I understand the why you did it, but... You did it face to face, which is better. And you handle yourself right or wrong in certain respects, and you admit that. So you take that into your next situation, okay? Seriously, you take it into your next situation, knowing what you did fucked up in this one for yourself, not for anything else.
Yeah.
Not for the club or whatever, or what you represent for you, Dustin. That's what you're taking out of this. That's why it was good for you to do it. Look, I wanted you to be... I didn't want you to take things personal. I tried to, you know, let's have fun and let's talk about it.
I had a feeling it might happen.
And it happened. Now you'll learn from it. And you'll
write him
an
apology letter.
But you guys did apologize.
I tried.
You both did.
Still pissed.
In your own way, you both did. But there is, look, man, you're going to look at this in your light and you might be like, you know what? Get the fuck off that street. You might be like, you know what? Fuck him. I don't know. I know what I would do.
You think you know what you would do, but you're not.
No,
in the
I know what I mean.
Bobby
I'd absolutely
Bobby
know what
would
I would
eat
do.
A pizza.
I know what I would do. I know. No,
if you were running a business and
I do run business. I do run a business, and I know what
I'm
do.
On McDougal, I'm saying.
I know it doesn't matter. I'm McDougal. I have situations where I can fuck people and do certain things to people. Or
I think
or
it's
push
okay to be across the street. Yeah,
I
a problem.
Okay, I'm saying that it's I know. Not. I know what I do. I've had an opportunity today to do some the little tricky shit that would favor me in the long run, and I decided not to because it's not who I am. I have to take the hit on that and take the financial fucking hit too, business wise, because I chose to say this is what I'm doing, and I could be risking everything right now.
Are you risking something by having me on the show?
No, I'm pointing at me. I'm just using you as the people that I talk to. Oh. I know what I
He's
do.
He's taking a financial
so
hit
you,
having you on here.
You know what you do.
He's losing business, but I also feel. It's like I said before, they're bars with mics. We make them bigger than they are. They lucked out that you were a young comic at the Cellar. They lucked out that Attell was young and up and coming.
I don't know this young
they
thing. He's really angry at me.
They lucked out that you guys came through in your stable comics there. But every club has that. And it's like, we make it bigger than it is, man. It's like, these clubs don't define the comedy. The comics define it.
No, you
and
wanna,
it's like, we're making, they're giving
be
too
Chris
much
Rock.
Power.
You want to be Chris Rock where you can walk into any club anytime do a spot. That's really what we want to do.
It's the Beacon or it's nothing. It's the Garden or it's nothing. Like if you can't play those places,
I'd say the Wilbur,
then you still
in
got
Boston.
Work to do. You still got work
or
to
I'd
do.
Say Bananas, you know, or maybe the Comedy Works in Albany or nothing. This Friday and Saturday.
Really? The Comedy Works in Albany?
Comedy Works in Albany, and then I'm gonna be in Tampa. At the Side Splitters.
Oh,
and
so
then
the hottest bartender in comedy.
I know. But, and then I'm gonna be at hang on 1 second now.
You're gonna do the Ryan Cast show at the Stand?
What?
You're gonna do the Ryan Cast show at the Stand? Yeah, well, for a specific reason.
Because Bobby couldn't be on it?
Yeah.
I can't.
Really?
We moved
it. You know why? I can't. Yeah, I fucked up.
Why?
I have to fly out.
No,
we
changed the date. We postponed it.
Fuck.
Oh, I also can't do that date.
I can't do that date either. No, I'm
just
kidding.
Be honest now. Dustin was honest.
I will fucking absolutely do that show. Yeah. I was very excited about it, but I found out that I have to fly out the day before.
Well, we postponed the show.
Perfect. I'm in.
There's no date right now. TBD.
I'm dying. Look, man,
we want you on it, so we TBD.
I haven't even come down to the club.
It's awesome. Yeah, you have.
I one time pre-opening. I haven't been down.
Once,
I'm dying to come down and perform and see what the hoorah's about.
Why don't you come to Greenwich?
All right, Lou, you got to go?
Yeah, I got to go headline Carolyn's.
That place still
first
open?
Of all, I want to thank all the fans who bought tickets to see him. Pick up your beer, you slob. Fucking dirtball.
Why are you drinking at this hour? God.
Anyway, so have fun tonight. Congratulations. Headlining
your
first
congratulations,
show.
Congratulations,
I mean, it's not really headlining. It's on a fucking Tuesday. But whatever, dude. Have fun.
The breakout
have fun
show.
Doing the...
All right, break it out,
have
man.
Fun going up last. That's what we call it on Tuesday.
Funny.
Hey, thanks, Joe. I appreciate that.
Nice check spot.
Laughing. Well, I've been laughing.
Christ.
Jesus Christ.
I love you, Joe. Listen, let me tell you something.
I love
hope you getting sober doesn't make you less funny. Because if it does...
I'm minding my own business. You have me on the show to add levity. I thought we were going to have like 20 minutes of riffing typical podcast.
Sober's overrated.
And then it would go into this nonsense.
Hate
you started right
hate
off with this.
Every second of it.
I thought we were going to... I thought
we'd have like a half hour of normal podcasts. We shit on each other. We make voices.
I did too, dude.
You went right into the fucking nonsense.
I know. There was
a lot of unfunny.
There was no lube on that, by the way. I'm not saying you didn't do a good job.
I tried.
Dude. You could have
lubed
it a little.
A good way to put
well, here's what happened.
You could have lubed it a little.
This is what happened with this. It's is like, that you came in late, right at 4. If you, I thought you were coming. I told you to be here a quarter of, so that you'd already
you said
be
4.
Here.
You
did
said,
I?
Yeah, you told me 4. Buzz me. Get here.
Anyways,
four and buzz
me. I thought you were going to come in first. We'd sit down. All of us would talk, and then Noam would come in. What happened was you guys kind of came in. You came in after him. You sat down, and it was like, okay, let's get into this. And I thought. It would be a little, but you guys really had to do this because it was on your fucking tips of your tongues. It wasn't in the back of your brains. It wasn't an after. It was on the tip of your fucking tongue. And as soon as you spoke, it came the fuck out. I think this was a good thing for both of you because now you're going to go, fuck it, and move the fuck on whatever direction you go.
Well, yeah. And then here's one thing I'll say. There's just certain people that you just kind of have that tension with. You know, there's certain, I've seen it in my life along the ways
like
of my
me with
whole
Kelly.
Life. Huh?
Like me with Kelly Festuca.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean, Joe?
But there's,
I have the flu in fucking Australia.
There's just guys that you don't like and you feel it and you feel like they're a certain way and then they have the same way about you. Yeah. You know, and the fact, and on the podcast, you talk about being a redneck. If I talked about being a Jew or something, that'd be fucked up. Like, that's what he
is
said
that
on the podcast.
Same Jew and redneck? Well, I guess redneck's an offensive term.
It is.
To rednecks.
It is. Yeah. I mean,
unless you're the turtle man.
You know, it's like, well, I wear a cowboy hat.
I don't know if it's as offensive. I got to be
that's
honest.
Not as more of a cowboy
it is.
Hat.
It's about defining someone's class
in
society.
You're right. I'll let you. I agree.
You know,
I'll
it is.
It.
And so,
is that really a cowboy hat or is it more of a rustler's hat?
Wrangler. I'm a
Wrangler,
comedy Wrangler,
Wrangler
I call it.
I'm wearing Wrangler
so,
jeans.
Damn right you are.
Because that's all you can afford.
So I just, and sometimes no matter what, no matter how good you present it or no matter what centered place
human
I'm at.
Human nature.
it's just gonna go.
Human nature,
it's just gonna
fucking collide.
We're from two different worlds, and we're at the same world. Like, you know, I was in a band, and like I know about music, and like I was hoping when I got into the cellar, that's the connection we could have.
There was no lightness brought at all to this. Like it didn't start with look, like
that's
hey,
what I was
you
hoping.
Like guitar, cool.
That's
anyway,
what
let's
I was hoping. I was
this.
Gonna grab a guitar.
You know like guitar.
I was gonna just go, and it was like that. I wanted
grab one of his
yeah,
guitars.
But I agree. I mean,
or a mandolin.
It was.
Bobby's right. It's probably good that this happened, and you're angry, and you got it all out, and you know, maybe in a long run, right? Not right now. It was.
This is when Soda needed. We needed voices.
Hello, lady.
I almost invited DeRosa here. That would have been a
nightmare.
That's
who I wanted.
Yeah,
that's
but it,
who I wanted.
He wouldn't. He would
have been awesome.
It wouldn't have been. It would have been you two screaming.
No.
But
no.
This was,
you can't. You don't.
No.
You fucking did it.
Yeah, but you know what?
That's
it doesn't always have to be funny, right? This was. I mean, this was good.
I think. There was
I mean,
some,
for,
I think there
for
was
a
some
listener,
funny lines.
It was
Joe List's fucking rant he gave me will go down. I might put that at the beginning of the show. That is that fucking man.
I wish we bookended, padded the argument. I thought it was going to be fun and silly, and then we're going to have this thing for a
that's
half
what
an
I
hour,
thought, right.
And then it would
that's
go back.
Well,
I
thought that
brought
too.
Natterman, or
and then
something.
I get called
Natterman,
a bitch.
Natterman had my back.
Yeah, Natterman's great, and he's funny. He should have had Natterman.
Who
here.
Was the waitress on that show?
I don't know who she was. I'm not. I don't know who she is.
You go down Broadway and turn.
She was nasty to me on that podcast. She was just saying.
Well,
I
don't
remember.
Linda, what was your thoughts? As what were your thoughts?
Did I say anything nasty? I don't think I did it.
Listen, here's the thing.
You guys were okay. I mean, you know, I have a history with Chris
and
stuff. So it's like, you guys weren't too bad.
Oh, Chris?
You opened up with, like, Dustin's trying to make himself be a victim or something, I think Chris said. And I didn't try to make myself a victim, man.
Well, that's where I think you may have said the article.
Yeah. Is that why you lied on the street in front of your club crying? I don't even know what that meant. I was like a victim. Nothing. I was trying too much of a stretch, Joe.
I don't know. I'm never
may
back.
Just be stepping over the line because, like you said, it's we're
Joe,
all different businesses. But you can do
Joe,
what
do
you want. But you know
hang
that idea
second.
Of like
Joe,
synergy
do you need to leave?
Is gonna you know it's gonna be that riff. Like with that, if you want to have that that synergy between clubs like that. He's putting it out there, like there will be this rift.
Look,
if
man,
that's what
look
happens.
What happened.
So, I mean, I think
Burger King
that
and McDonald's
honest,
exist across the streets from each other in Manhattan,
and it could happen.
And everywhere else across the country, people have a choice. People have a choice.
I would say Burger King, Quiznos,
whatever. Wendy's. How about Wendy's?
I just want to be the In-N-Out Burger in this. That's
you're
all
not,
I want to do.
Not.
I just want to be the In-N-Out Burger in this scenario.
That's
listen,
money. You can get
not.
An In-N-Out in Manhattan.
I don't like that
money.
He wants to be a boutique comedy club.
It should be
Chipotle. We're not the biggest, but we're
Chipotle
not the worst.
Is killing it.
Listen, it is nice in there.
It is.
Every day I go, God, this place is nice.
It's a beautiful club. It's a beautiful club.
You guys selling out?
Yeah, past two shows. Past weekend, all shows were sold out. No, this past weekend, listen, we've been open for 12 weeks. This past weekend, all four shows.
Who was the headliner?
Who closed out the show? Big J. Okerson closed out the show.
Every show?
On Saturday, and on Saturday, both shows, yeah.
Did he wear ankle shorts?
Janine Garofalo was on the show. Hannibal Buress was on the show.
Right. So you guys are going for alternative.
Oh, is that?
That's what you're doing.
Big J. Okerson was on the show.
Yeah, alternative looking.
Who else was on
we
the show?
Good lineups.
Adrian Appalucci.
That's a great lineup.
No, we mix it up. We really.
It's a great lineup.
Ryan Hamilton was on the lineup.
Yeah, you guys.
That's
a great lineup. It's a great lineup. Well, look, it is what it is. I just, you know, I wouldn't. I would let it go. And I would think. I would
got
think,
it out. It's done.
I would think about, you know, I understand. I side with Gnome on the fucking approach to business.
It's just you're saying that there's going to be a rift, and
as far as saying you're not funny on a podcast. I agree with him. He made a mistake. I mean, you don't out that shit. Those are personal things that you say to you and your person who books the show. I don't want, it's none of my business what you think of me. It's just not my business. I don't want to know, like, who was it? Somebody told me what they really thought of me a couple weeks ago. And I was like, dude, I don't want to know what
but
you really think of me,
too.
Man.
But you know what I think? He was like,
but
no,
what do we get?
I don't care.
I have a question.
Can I tell you what I think of you, Chris?
I'm Dave. Fuck you.
Sorry.
Bobby, I have a question.
Not much of a
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
So what do we get out of, you know, living by the rules of the Comedy Cellar? Like, what benefits we...
I don't live by the rules of... Oh, you as a
what
comedy
what do we
club?
Get as a comedy club?
No, you're
like,
not... You're
why
not,
do they get to set the rules for McDougal Street? You know, why do... Like, Mineta's off limits. The restaurant right... The restaurant that those kids are in
been
front
been
of.
For,
Dave?
You know, in my opinion...
Is
like,
your name Dave?
Yeah.
You, hey, you answer.
You
that.
Don't have to, and you shouldn't. Like, I agree. Like, I want to be the best comedy club and just sell out or
just
all those things.
Make money
but you
and pay
do
the
have
bills.
To just accept they've been on this corner for a very long time. So they've just been here.
Who cares?
Who gives a shit?
You don't have to care, but if you want to be friends with them, then you.
If
have
you
want to
be friends
that's
with
it.
Them, I just got mad at what he said on the podcast. I have no intention to be friends with him.
Yeah, but
I don't care.
Here's the thing, though, is that.
I played the.
You don't
I passed
have to
the
care.
Cellar.
That's the thing.
I played
you don't
weekends
have
at the cellar. I made money. I don't care. I'm going on with something else. Like you said, it's about the garden and whatever. It's not about these little clubs. It's about
I
being Chris
that.
Rock.
You said that.
Well, about Chris Rock.
I
it's about being
Chris
Rock,
thing, yeah.
And that's what I was implying.
Right.
But it's like, so who cares? I got other things I'm doing. I mean, yeah. That's
right. I mean, that's what
I make my money in radio. Like that's what I do. I produce radio.
That's what it comes down to. If you don't give a fuck, right, with what you're doing,
don't.
Then there you go. But you, but Noam. And Noam is saying, oh, okay.
He's the one that was whiny from the get-go.
Right. Look, I understand that, but it's up to you.
Bourbon
I'm saying, look, I understand what he's saying.
I get
that one corner. I get it. Walking by Ben's or down on Bleecker, fine, whatever. But that one corner while there are lines out there and having your guys solicit people out of the lines or people that don't get... You know, these guys, I don't like these fucking guys.
Well,
I don't like these fucking, it's not you. Yeah. They don't represent your club, but they do. But
look,
I know it's not
problem.
Part of your club.
Look,
but these fucking guys, I think they're scummy in the way they do shit.
All right.
And I don't like it.
Okay, I don't think they're all scummy, and I think some of them are legit, and a lot of them is just like, here's the deal. People, there's only two things to do
it's a
on Madougal.
Job.
There's only two. I mean, what is
what
there's
are the
two
things?
Things to do?
What?
Drink
yep.
or go to a comedy club?
Wait a minute. And there, you can blow
music.
A shemale in an alley. I've done that.
There's a very good alley for that right over here.
There's
right
a couple. There's music on Bleecker, and there's music on West 3rd. But
right.
What? And there's two comedy clubs, and there's a whole bunch of
you
bars.
You can also kiss Linda's belly. Look at me, Linda.
No, nobody can afford that. But... And so that's what it is. So people come out of the cellar, and or they walk up. They want they don't have money for this, or the line's full, or whatever. Mm. And they want to just go to a comedy show. That's all they want. They just want to laugh. They want to forget their problems. They want to drink a few Long Island iced teas. Yeah. They want to see some great comic and have a good time and have interaction with a comedian. And that's it. They just want to have a good time.
How do you feel that Joe List is going to be working the comedy cellar now?
I don't care.
Because
I expected
of you.
It.
I think you could have turned
it.
This into an audition.
You
tonight.
Just lost
you
Joe List.
You
could have done 6 minutes.
You just lost
well,
Joe
there
List.
There was a
can
short moment
work?
Where Joe let's, List could have had an audition tonight.
Can I not work?
I think
both
Joe
clubs,
List is a great comic.
Thanks, buddy.
And I wish
it.
He would work our club more. And sometimes he's out of town, so maybe I don't come in contact with him. But I book him whenever he wants. But, and if he gets the cellar out of this,
you know
that
why,
would be awesome.
Do you know why
I don't care.
Do you know why I love the cellar? You know why I love him?
Are we supposed to ask, or are you just going to tell us?
I'll tell you why I don't like it. You tell me the
pause. That was my pause.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know why I love... Let me do it again. You know why I love the cellar?
Why, Bobby?
No. I just need the pause. I don't need you to say
all right.
The food?
Do you know... Do you know why I love the cellar?
I don't.
But don't. No, don't
the
say
waitresses.
Anything. Shut up. Let me just...
Bobby, why do you love the cellar?
Where?
Do you know?
Greenwich Village Comedy Club.
Do you know why I love the cellar?
Greenwich Village.
Is this a hypothetical question?
I love the cellar because they take care of us.
Right.
They make sure that we have a spot.
I knew that was going to be your answer.
But
by the
they
way.
also care about the show. Yeah. And they make sure, like the other night, somebody threw something at Dan, a piece of chocolate, gone. Mm-hmm. They had somebody talking, some drunk person was gone. Esty, in the line, they bought tickets. Going in, Esty saw them, went, They're not shit faced, but they're too drunk to fuck with to
right.
walk into our show.
Yeah.
Fuck the money. She lost a whole table.
Yeah.
Gave them their money back
yeah.
and said, get the fuck out.
It's tough.
Goodbye.
It's tough.
That to me makes me feel good. When I go to a club and they don't give a shit about me, and I show up
definitely.
And nobody gives a fuck about me. I'm in the way. I feel like I'm in the way. And then when I go on stage, even the comics don't give a fuck about me, the hosts or whoever. What do you want to say? Ugh. You know, and then you go on and the crowd doesn't give a fuck about me.
Right.
Because they don't know how to act because the club hasn't trained them. It's like, fuck this.
Yeah.
I don't need that.
Yeah.
I don't need. I'm not. I don't need that shit.
That's very
first.
Obvious. That I think that it's. Yeah. You comedy clubs. I think right now need to. And they're not all like that. Is we had this conversation on the last podcast that are comics paid enough for this and that, and they should be paid more.
Fuck the money.
And right. It's
the other
again,
stuff.
Like I know our club is built, and you were saying that comics like being at our club. That's what's going to make our business, that they're happy being here. And that's going to come from me treating them well, making them feel special, making them feel that we care more and that we appreciate that they're there. I mean, that's every one of our staff takes a test every week so they know every comic that comes in.
Right.
Are, you know, those certain things, those little things that say,
like,
hey,
that's
you know,
the thing that me and you got into the, well, not me and you, but you and your guys, when I said, when I found out that you guys were doing that, I thought you
the open mic
when it was an open mic where you buy a beer and $5 you mic it on stage. That really
So
that bothered
me. I didn't hear that conversation.
Well, that bothered
me. Wait, just can I just ask quickly? Was that? Did you think it was a regular show? And we said, hey, if you spend $5, you can get on a regular show.
This is what I read on Twitter.
Did you not know it was an open mic?
That's what. It doesn't matter if it's an open mic. That means my uncle can go down and buy a beer and $5 and get the fuck on the show. That bothers me when there's a million funny open micers that work their ass off.
But we do a 6 o'clock open mic.
But it's all. But what made it okay for me is that it's all comics.
Yeah, it's an open mic comedy show specifically for open micers to work.
Yeah, it's not just anybody.
No, it's. I mean, I tell people if they call me and go, "Hey, I want to come to the show," I go, "Don't." You know, no, this is not to be. This is not a show that you're gonna.
But
laugh.
I actually had problems with that, and then they fucking made it into a fucking stinkleberry.
Well, that's because you were erroneous in what you were reporting.
I wasn't erroneous. I was absolutely right. You had to explain yourself better. The tweet was erroneous.
I don't know what the tweet was.
I have it. I have a photo.
What was it? What was it?
Come down to the club, $5 and a beer, get you on stage, maybe.
At an open mic?
It doesn't say open mic.
Okay.
It said $5 and a beer, come down the club, you might get on stage.
Right.
What the fuck? Say, our open mic special.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Or struggling comics. Or if you want to see the new New York talent. Something. Okay. Because I have so much respect. And here's where you took it. Erroneous. Here's where you took it wrong. Is I have so much respect for you guys. And I support you guys so much.
Right.
And that I have you on a high level of giving a fuck.
Yeah.
As former cringe humor guys. And now the stand that I was like, what the fuck are you guys doing?
Yeah. No, well, we're honestly trying to build a Monday through Wednesday. We have 6 to 8.
Yeah, but you guys went to Bobby. Fuck you, Bobby. Wait a minute, Bobby. What's up, buddy?
Because the story that got back. No one said fuck you.
Yeah, come on. That's where it's like instead of going, what's up, Bob?
Yeah.
What's up, man? Okay. You guys love it. We love you, Bobby. I thought you loved us. I do love you guys. That's why it sucked when I read it. Oh no, it's not. Oh, okay, cool. Oh,
so what I heard was that Voss was on your show and said, "Oh, I was in the audience."
I never would have him on my show.
And that you were okay. Well, then we're done here. that Voss was here and he said, "Oh, I was in the audience for a night," and then comics were just paying to go up. And I thought that's where you got the information from, implying.
No.
So then I think someone came down here to settle it. And
yeah.
Bottom line is,
I invited all you cocksuckers down.
Any 8 o'clock show,
Patrick.
Any 8 o'clock show at our club is professional comics. 6 to 8, we do open mic.
All right, so we're good. Everybody,
and we
good.
Love you. That's really the what it comes down.
I love you guys.
Okay. Thank you.
All right,
Thanks,
can
Bobby.
I say something?
Yeah.
All right. I want to go back to this romanticism of the Cellar, which I think they do a great job at the Cellar.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, I do a great job. Because I care about the comics themselves. I know everybody by name because I'm in the trenches with you guys.
Right.
I've worked places with you. I've done shitty gigs with everybody. I've done great gigs with everybody.
Right.
So and here's the difference between me and the Cellar. If a young comic is at my place and maybe he's trying to, you know, develop and try something new, I'm going to give him another chance as opposed to this, like, we're not going to book you anymore because you didn't kill on the boat ride. So that's where I come in, where, you know, you're saying how great it is to be there. I also treat my guys good.
Right.
And because it's a band of brothers.
Masavia did that to me at the Boston.
Yeah.
When the Boston wasn't shit. You know, it was a great club, but when I didn't work the Cellar, any other club, Masavia Greer did that to me.
Yeah,
took me under his wing and allowed me to develop. You know, I mean, look, dude, I was getting bumped by Chappelle, Brewer, Jay Moore. I mean, Red Johnny, the round guy. Those are the guys I was getting bumped. You know, it was crazy.
Yeah,
crazy.
I remember you there. Right?
So
a little mullet and your leather jacket.
Yeah. It's like I understand what you're saying, and you will exist. But the thing is that I think you want to exist as a team, like the Stand and the Cellar. If the Stand was where you are and you were the Stand were, I think there'd be a better relationship between those two.
I don't think so.
I do.
I do not, because CB's was the same exact relationship.
That guy is very competitive. Right. And come on, Bobby. This guy. This,
Al
you
Martin
know
owns
the
a club that, 3 blocks from me.
Yeah, and we're, you know, we're redeveloping New York Comedy Club. We're making it less of a bringer show. We're getting headliners in there. I'm booking it.
Good.
So that place is going to uprise. So, we might have a little bit, but that's friendly.
But,
and
no,
that's
but
good.
That's fine. But it's it, because there are specific things that you go, this is cool, this is not cool.
I don't think they're doing anything to you guys.
No.
So it's not, you know, it's a different, when it's a neighborhood, it's different.
But I'm just saying, but
when it's a street,
yeah,
it's different.
Dustin, you know there are certain things you could do that would create it, not a rift.
But
you could say,
you were absolutely
I'm either
going to
do it or not do it, and then say, there's going to be a rift or there will be.
Okay, if you have
won't be.
But if you guys were down there where we were and you had a street team, they would act no different than
I'll
any
say
other
this.
Street team.
I got to be honest. You're right. I'm not in your shoes. I don't
it's
have
street
your
street team.
But I'm just saying this. You have Bleecker Street. You have south of Bleecker Street. Yeah. This area, I would kill to have the foot traffic on this area. There are so many great streets.
I understand it, but you're not here, so you don't know.
You're right. I preface it with saying I am not in your shoes, but I'm just telling you
you're
that
not here.
You have West 3rd. You have
You don't have
Bleecker
to tell me
Street.
That. I know this. I was way before you even thought about a comedy club. I was in this business running Boston and all these other places. Been in this 15
I know,
years.
I'm just,
I get it. I know what you're saying, but don't tell me about West 3rd and Bleecker. I know.
And I'm saying,
I understand it. I get
you
it.
You could do what you got to do, but you know that there's going to be
But I'm just telling you,
shit.
I understand that.
Shit between
I'm just
two.
Telling you, when Seabees was down there, they had a problem with Gnome. You know, there was a guy that ran that club, knocked the phone out of Gnome's hand. There's a big interaction. They had set downs and crazy shit happened. It got wild. And I'm just saying, it was, and Gnome did not back down and created and poked and poked and poked, because he does that. He'll poke you and make you go, and then you're the asshole for freaking out. So it's a lot him and it's a lot us, but it's not, you know, it just is what it is. And I think when you're in a position where you're trying to pull people in, you need
look,
a street.
You're going
to
do what you do. That's it.
But don't act like they're stand-up and I'm not, because that's not cool.
Nobody's look.
You said like the stand would be one way and then we're another. Like, that's not cool.
I think the stand would, because of the relationship between them, I think they wouldn't, if he said don't do the McDougal thing, I think those guys would go, okay, we're not going to do that.
How do you say not do the McDougal thing when we're all
no,
McDougal?
No, Mineta.
Mineta. Okay. If he said don't, can you not do the Mineta?
I think they would say that until your bills started coming in.
Listen, we have bills. I mean, honestly, we tell our guys not to go to Times Square because we have a very specific, you know, we're trying to get a certain type of customer in.
I think that would happen. I do. I think that would
you
happen.
You don't know that.
I know
assumption.
That I would get more people coming in every day.
It's just a debate.
I'm
just
telling
saying
you.
That. That's,
I mean, that's your opinion.
That's what my opinion is.
Yeah,
I know what my
not,
fucking opinion is.
Yeah, but it's not.
But I know what my opinion is. I know what the that's exactly what I'm saying. I think that it would be a different thing. And I think it could be with you, too. I think the relationship between the business could be better. But I don't think you give a fuck about that. I think you care about your business. I think you care about what you care about. And I'm not going to say, dude, you should do it this way, because I don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm not in. I'm a comic.
But
you're running
you
a fucking
also,
comedy club.
You know.
Yeah.
You guys still talking about me?
Yeah, yeah. This is amazing. This is a marathon
we're still
conversation.
Talking about come on now. I'm coming right now.
What the fuck? You guys are still talking about me?
Yes.
We're not talking bad. We're not
nothing
talking
bad.
Bad. You're not capable of any other kind of talking about me.
Now
here
you
we
know.
Go again.
Here,
I'm just about to wrap this thing up. Get out of here. I'm really fucking upset now.
I need to go. I got.
I feel really fucking betrayed.
No, you shouldn't. We're talking.
It wasn't like that at all.
Oh, shut up. They always say it's not like that.
Hey, the proof is in the pudding. You can listen to it after.
Yeah, you'll listen to what we talked about you.
All the fucking moguls of all the competitive buzzard comedy clubs all assembled in my fucking apartment talking about me.
We wrote a song together with that mandolin and that guitar.
My fucking equipment. Yeah. Who owns that? Who bought that equipment?
You did.
I bought that equipment.
You apparently.
This jackass can see about how to take over everything that my father left me.
All right, I'll see you later.
Come on.
All right, I don't know if we can end it any better than that.
That's how you
know. Gnome, thank you.
That was good.
ComedySeller.com. Yeah, get out of here.
That's
you know my
Dustin,
last
Dustin, thank you so much. Look, dude, I think this was a good thing.
Yeah,
there you go.
I
think
know.
To get
I
it the fuck out.
It was good and bad.
You got
good.
It out.
It
I think got out.
Not telling you.
I apologize to the fans for my performance.
This is insulting.
David. David, what's your name again?
God damn
David
it.
Lipschitz.
Yes, that's it.
David.
A little respect. God. You want to get booked at the stand?
No, no I don't.
I know. David Kimmelwitz.
I know. God David Kimmelwitz. From the stand, you guys are great.
Thanks,
you guys
buddy.
Are all
this
doing great
fun.
Stuff.
Sort
and,
of.
And my friend, Dave, Joe. Joe, I don't talk anymore. I know. Joe List.
Yeah, thanks for the invite, Bobby. It was a real pleasure.
Thanks for the anxiety.
Plug Hip Hop Radio with Kyle Grooms.
Real pleasure.
Every Monday, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. PNC.
You guys,
radio,
you have, again, FM. If you have any questions you want to email us about this show, ykwd@riotcast.com, please. Well, all the emails you guys are sending us, we love them.
StandNYC.com.
Yeah, okay, there you go. And then, all right, I'm coming. Please go to our website, listen to all the other shows, and we really appreciate everything, and I'll finish up later. Thanks, guys. Bye. You know what, yeah.
Don't stop filming my face. Don't stop filming my face. Don't stop.